was for an access road right away. In the Deer Springs Ranch area of King County, so it did not hurt from you. Now, since April 29th, we are accepting the communications to the final word on the matter of closing the case. Should we wish to reapply in the future, you're welcome to do so. Pretty much, Mark Foley. I have sent out a request to Mark Foley, an email, and I have not got anything back from him. I'm still waiting. I have not ever heard anything back from Lou Pratt, neither on all the stuff that we talked about when they were all up here with Hugh Wolf, Mark Foley, and so forth, between all the BLM project stuff. I did report to Mark Foley that the majority of the slash on Fly Canyon Roads has been taken care of like he requested. But all the road projects that the King County has wanted to get involved with and help us out with has not happened yet. As far as the monument goes, I know the Lee, and I don't know, I take it maybe you helped too on that, Bob, over there, but we've got that road coming out of the wash going into the Podunk is all safe now and been handled. That's one of the many projects we had on the monument. So that road is done on that small section. So I was kind of hoping to have back the word from Mark Foley, but obviously the letter beat me to it. So that's all I have to say. Well, I guess King County is taking that like they wanted to, the way I understand that.
Well, my question, when I got that, Mark, one, he's referring to the letter you wrote requesting that. That was a letter he requested from our last meeting to terminate this letter, saying he's been pushing for a year or more now to close that file on this easement we applied, which was actually a Title V from the end of the pavement all the way out Scootum Paw and up Lower Slide, because we had worked out with the county that now that the county is maintaining Scootum Paw, and that they would try to upgrade the Lower Slide Road to a B County Road and start maintaining that.
Except that they would do that.
Which they have agreed to do, but we don't know really where that's in the process. But we haven't installed the culverts or know where that's at.
My understanding was they were going to do that.
With them.
My understanding was that we were supplying the culverts,
right,
that they were going to install them.
Right. So we still need to coordinate that. I just...
What he said on that then was because he knows that the county commission hadn't got back with Lou yet and approved this anything yet, that he was just leaving it open and extending it since I've talked to him last on the phone.
Right. Well, he's still pushing to close that. So my question is, and you've been there, and you know, Brent, some of them are in the meeting, are we comfortable letting this close and knowing that, you know, we've talked with Commissioner Clayson, we've met with Lou Pratt, the county definitely is in favor of adding that, it's just a matter of time, or are we leaving ourselves open to risk if they, for some reason, change their mind and we allow this file? I mean, if not, we need to write a letter this week and tell Mark, no, we object to you closing the file. We agreed to withdraw and allow the file to be closed, predicated on the county upgrading that road. And until that happens, you're going to have to be patient with the process just like we are.
I'm agreeing with you. I don't think we should let this thing go until we get this.
And so that's, if it is, then I think it's appropriate maybe for you, Mark, to write a response to say, we're fine for this file to close once it is being maintained by the county. Until then, we have paid our fee. We filed an application four years ago. It's not our fault any more than their fault that it hasn't happened. I mean, this is just their slow process. We're at mercy at just as much. But, you know, from day one that Mark came involved, he is anxious to clean up his desk and close every file he can, and this is an easy target. I don't know. I didn't get a copy of what you wrote. He's referring in here to this letter that he requested and you wrote. Maybe I did get an email because you sent those out, and I didn't go back. This just came in the mail 2 days ago or yesterday. And so I passed it through to Linda. But I think that we need to read that and make sure we feel comfortable. If not, at least object to it, because if we go silent, he's going to assume it's okay. So will you... look at that, Mark.
I will make an objection letter based on...
Or maybe we can call Lou Pratt, and if he says, hey, yeah, it is rolling, it's 100% guaranteed, it's just a matter of a month or so.
Wait for that letter, he's going to send us back.
Yeah, and if he says, oh, yeah, we, you know what, I can produce that, that helps us, just say, we've got a letter, we've got a right, we've got this week to either object or you get that letter and move forward, and if he can, then we can maybe be okay with this. If he can't, then we've got to object to this and not be caught in between the county and the BLM and be back to where we were, square one, or we've just wasted 5 years.
And not only that, so, you know, money and work.
Yeah.
The county indicates that they have approved taking over that road, but because of the Alton Cole Road and two of the other projects, he said we can't possibly get on it for a couple of months.
So they still hope to install the culverts before snow.
The culverts, he said during June and probably July, we can't touch it. But it is on our schedule, and he implied that it has been approved by the commission.
Okay, so just so I'm clear then, because I went in the field visit, Mark, you reported on the Podunk Road on the monument, and we did approve to fund and get culverts to cross that crossing. Has that been installed?
No, that's
it's ready?
Who was going to do that culvert?
Okay, so you're saying that's been
that
fixed
county
up.
County actually has that right away.
Right.
Up to the red gate on below lot 3.
Okay.
And what they were going to do is when we were with Mark Foley and Hugh Wolf on that, we did look at that, and Lou says, we got this one.
Okay. Well, when you first reported that stuff was done, I didn't know if the county had gone and installed that culvert and not done lower slide, so we're still waiting on the county for both of those.
She said if they can supply those culverts, since they have equipment and trailers out here, they will transport those culverts out there to the slide and to the podunk for us, okay? And he says if we could get some gravel for this, setting that culvert in out of our gravel pile on the podunk, he said that would be, like, great. I said I don't see a problem in doing so.
Yeah. So we are all in agreement. We've budgeted and funded the culvert. Have we wrote the checks to pay for them?
Yes.
Okay. They're located at the north end of the airstrip, ready for the county to move them and install them. And we help provide some assistance and some gravel.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I think we're on track then, but I do think we just need either...
The only other thing that we need, that we're slacking on still as of yet, because I know because of that wash, and you know the one right where it crosses the podunk, going into that lower lot 20 on the Johnny Brown, that lower corner there, that road part has been fixed. We do have some water bars and so forth that we cut in there, and I gave my letter to Lee, so he had permission, and if anybody says anything about us being on the monument moving dirt, it was Hugh Wolf's permission letter to...
Okay.
So one thing we need to do, since we're waiting on the county to do the culvert on that upper crossing, we do need to still keep on our schedule somehow or another to get on that old coal road that goes from the bottom there over to Crawford, because that's still part of the...
So we have still not run that at all this year.
I think that's the second letter.
We need somebody go through probably on the rhino and the chainsaw first and trim back, and then we need to get... I know Lee said if he had some help, somebody offered to go to help, because he didn't want to be back in that area by himself, that he would take his backhoe or that little dozer through there. But we've got falls on the upstream side of the road crossing, so you know where that whole area I'm talking about from there. There's a lot of that stuff that's crossed, that's tilted all up, filled in, and it's run across the road.
Is that what the second letter is about, non-compliance?
No, that second letter, I need to...
He's got it, Dave has it.
Okay, well... I make a motion that we, and it doesn't really need to be, but we've got to expand our top 10 list because we're going to bury Paul and Nancy in this, you know. That can't be a top 10, but it's a top 25 this season. We do not want to go into winter without having that prep. So one of these days when it's kind of over in that neck of the woods to do a couple hours with the chainsaw and have it ready, or if we're running the grader either direction, to drop it and at least scrape that road so we can say we've legally met our requirement 2013. We ran that road except for the two bad spots that we're people are kind of still driving around. That's one we've neglected or ignored for years, and now that we have them.
Take time for the meeting, Paul. I'll just get with you later on this.
Okay.
Making this a motion in this.
Mm-hmm. Just add to the top 25. I'm just saying we need to create a top 25 list.
It needs to be a constant.
We have it. Okay.
So. It needs to be on a constant project.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all I have to say.
Thank you. You don't get time next meeting. You took too much this time, right?
Thank you.
Grand to Grand Ultra 2015.
Well, are you going to my thing?
Yeah. That's
okay, but first, we've got another letter from the BLM. Are you going to hand it somewhere else?
Is that the non-compliance?
Yeah.
Oh. Is that
well, it's roads, and I got the letter. We need to discuss it here.
Okay.
The question is, we got another notice from signed by Harry Barber, the head of the BLM, on another easement, UTU number, whatever, I think is over here going into Dunham Wash, that Deer Springs has an easement, and also Clarkson Investments has an easement, are both named in the letter, saying we're in non-compliance. Dad, did you get a copy of that letter?
Yes, sir.
So do you know which first? I didn't, you know, it just came, I think, yesterday, and so I didn't look on a map to try to make sure. Is it the one going down Dunham Wash?
Yes.
And is it something Deer Springs needs?
No.
It does not act, is it just before you enter the Deer Springs private property?
Yes.
So you come off the hill just before you cross the cattle guard and enter association ground.
And we'll move that entrance road west of the cattle guard.
And go up into that other private property.
To the cattle guard.
Okay. So Dunham Wash, or, you know, the 160 acres that's owned by who now?
Tonya Torrance.
Torrance, or, you know, some of our neighbors on that side. The road, you actually came into Deer Springs on association properties where that road went. Outside of that was an old road that was an easement that we had, but again, it goes from the county road up to that other private property. Again, I think Dale's been leasing that place or something, you know, and involved in, you know, whatever's happening up there or something that they need. But as far as DSROA, I don't think that we need anything. Does anybody else even know familiar? When I got it, if that's the location, we're happy to say cancel it. It doesn't go to our property.
Let's make a motion that somebody write that letter. Probably they write a letter saying that we don't want that.
I don't know. Dale, do you know the tone of the letter? Do we need to respond, or is it better for us to just be silent?
Well, you want me to?
I think where you...
Comes off?
Yeah. I mean, I think you're dealing with it anyway.
I'll be meeting with them.
I make a motion that we authorize Dale Clarkson to, you know, make sure that we are lapsed or withdrawn from that easement where we have no liability or no responsibility on easement accessing Dunham Wash private land that's outside of Deer Springs Ranch.
I'll second that.
Thanks. Now, Grand to Grand. Oh, sorry. All in favor?
Aye.
Stand with that.
Aye. Yep.
Okay. Let me ask a question. Bob, you appeared at the commission meeting objecting to something about that road. What was it?
Well, I just wrote down off of the email that I got, and I didn't understand what was going on. And I didn't have time to check into it. And so what I wrote down wasn't in the form of a question, but I questioned it. So I put a question mark and gave it to Shannon. And then Shannon said that she'd look at it. And then that's when I left the picture.
Are you satisfied now?
Well, I didn't really complain to anything other than what the email said.
It was something that the county sent out in a standard public notice?
Well, no. It was a ranch member that sent me the email.
Hmm.
What is the email?
Shannon Moriarty?
No, it was from Vance.
Oh.
It was from who?
Vance.
What is the email about? I'm sorry, I'm confused.
You know what his concern was?
He thought that part of the road there was going to be on ranch property, and he wanted to just make sure that all the alignments were right on it.
It'd be well if he checked those out before he goes to the commission and houses.
Well, he had told the commission. I just brought up the question. I did it in the form of a question because I didn't understand what was going on.
It's all taken care of.
But Shannon sent me an email saying that it was all taken care of.
Okay, so just so that I'm clear, keep me straight, Brent. We've got the cattle guard out there, and historically, going up into Dunwash, which is not our property, there has been a road on the east and the west over the last 100 years.
Right.
And so a lot of times you actually enter that property, has been entering across association property. Without a written easement at this point. Your plan is to pursue an older claim across the BLM for their future access and improvements, and so it's not going to affect the association, which was, I think, Vance's concern possibly, is just to make sure. So that's what I'm saying. If it's on the BLM, I think it's great between the BLM and the neighbor. If it doesn't affect the association, I don't want to have to, you know, be tied up in it. So that's
my question to her was clear enough to her that she saw something that needed to be checked out.
Now, and I just haven't verified for myself on the map, so that's why I assumed and thought that was the issue. But I think that will, I think, satisfy Vance and everybody here. I mean, we know we've got neighbors. We don't control what some of our other private landowners do, and as long as they're good neighbors, I'm happy. I don't want them telling us what to do, and we don't want to be telling them what to do. So we solved two problems, them crossing our ground and us not impeding whatever they do across the BLM is between them and the BLM. So, okay, that's good. Grand to Grand, they are still planning on rerunning part of the course, and so their whole thing was September 27th, 28th, they would access up through the ranch to be able to transport from Kanab to up west of Bryce. We gave them permission when they actually did the race. The actual race was a year ago. This is a short segment where they're doing a lot of these mini races and running short segments of the course. We had passed the motion to answer a question to Kane County to even explore a memorandum of understanding. And again, we're waiting on the Kane County Commission and the Kane County Attorney to prepare something that we could consider, maybe present at the annual meeting, that would allow, Kane County to not have open public access to Meadow Canyon Road, but they've said we would like to maintain the section of Dixie National Forest roads up around the Crawford Pass area that's in Kane County, but we are not going to haul Kane County equipment for Kanab up around through near Panguitch and access up by Tropic Reservoir. While we're here, if we could go through that 5 miles, and they sometimes would grade the road, sometimes they wouldn't, but they would at least be able to transport their equipment through Deer Springs. So, again, they ask, we approve that within the last year, and we've never seen anything, but again, this is something I think is evolving, and if people have a lot of heartburn, my position.
Is it Grand to Grand that wants to run and maintain the road?
No, that's just one issue of the same thing. This request, the reason it was put on the agenda is they asked me to see if there's a problem, get approval from the board to be able to make sure the gate was not locked on those 2 days and to be aware that there may be four or five vehicles, Suburbans or vans, full of people that are going to drive back and forth through the ranch that day.
1 day?
2 days, September 27th and 28th. So just to be aware, people see, hey, what's going on, that's what it is and why. So they've asked permission 6 months in advance to say, look, they're not doing anything on the ranch, but they do want to access through the property. So it's, but I just brought that up, is the same kind of thing as the county.
You know, that'll benefit our members because we'll have access into the forest.
Right.
With that road being
nicer.
And it's beautiful up in
there. Yeah, it's. Yeah.
Who's going to maintain the road? That's what I'm asking. The county?
The county will maintain the road.
The county's proposal is to start maintaining those roads in the National Forest, you know, right above Deer Springs, that next 2 miles up through Chicken Spring where it washes out. There's a lot of times where either the trees fall across or there's no culverts, and you can only get by in heavy four-wheel drive Jeep quality equipment, you know, in the last 5 years that I've been watching. But they would try to keep that in usable shape at least seasonally. But in order to do it, they need to come through Deer Springs. So we said we're open to it, but if there's a memorandum of understanding or something, draw it up so we can consider it. And again, it's on their back burner, something they're trying to work on. But so I still maintain if they ask permission, we know who's coming and we know when they're coming. We've got to cooperate. If not, they will continue with their threat of they're just going to fence off the Dixie National Forest on the top end, and that'll become a no man's land that's accessible by foot and horseback only.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to be threat. I think that we're just good neighbors, and we have to do
they're grilled just good neighbors.
That's right.
Okay, Dale, water resource, hey, real quick.
Yeah,
go back to fire protection. A lot of us have these new radios throughout the ranch, and you know, we've had a couple of lightning strike fires on the ranch and outside the ranch. And I just wanted to say thanks to those who communicate, help out. You know, Art Ortolani helped out a little bit. Dan Lance, you know, Lookout, Brent. I mean, it's kind of it really worked. Those radios are. And then on the agriculture, Doug Hunt moved his cows over to the well field. That's when I talked with Dan about that. And just looking out there, you know, I'm finding what has been planted is slowly coming up with all the rain that we're getting. There's stuff growing every year that has the wheat and stuff. But there's some alfalfa coming up and some other little things by adding his cows off there.
Yeah, it was already fresh from the leaf about there. I don't know why.
It was. Well, and that's where. On that, because I didn't mention, Lynn already mentioned, but I was going to report, you know, he did, I gave Linda a check for the $6,000 for, so that should be his partial payment, then he'll wrap up at the end. We just got a bill from the BLM and paid it, so that our payment to them was $121, and a $6,000 check from him, which is only a third or something, is helpful. But Paul called me and said, hey, they're having, you know, longhorns in here. And I said, no, the lease never allows Doug Hunt's longhorns to be in the well field. That was still reserved for ranch use. And so we did invest with the John Deere drill we bought. And then the last seeding was not annual. It was a perennial pasture mix that has dryland pasture, alfalfa and stuff that's going to take some time to establish. The question I told Paul was, one, yeah, we need to get the cows out, and so I'm glad, so they are out, and we're watching fences and keep them out. The question is, with these rains we're getting, is there still enough seed there that we just need to be patient, or do we need to use some of our money and try to seed it again right now and see what we can get up before snow flies? Because we knew, if we're going to do this, you know, after it was cultivated by the Johnsons, we did a couple of them of years where we just did a crop that year that is a one-time deal.
Annual.
This last round, we bought different seed, and sometimes we know that it has to be a first and maybe a second planting, and so that's the judgment call or thing. We do have some budget is, you know, do we buy enough seed to do 50 acres again, another 1,000 pounds of seed with the drill? And now that we've had the rain just in the last few days, and we're going to have more the next 6 weeks, try to, you know, run that all again and get it reestablished as a productive pasture.
Well, I know after I mowed that thing all down, I know we still got some brush popping back up through again.
Lots of brush.
Yeah. Okay. And we may need to try to, now that you know...
Before I plant again, we got to... Number one, what's the status on the tractor?
The tractor, the Kubota? It is at Ahern. I called him on
Thursday and talk to him in preparation for this meeting. They've got it apart. They're just waiting on parts for it. They will deliver it when they're done with it. I asked him to send me by email a report. It didn't come through, so I don't know if he typed in the wrong address or what, but I had planned on having a written report for you for this meeting, but it should be out next week sometime.
In order to do that, and we're going to need a tractor to run that mower through that whole thing again one more time before we run the drill and run the seed patch over.
How high is the brush? I mean, is it still 6 inches or less?
It's rabbit brush on the north end of it.
Well, because I think, one, again, we have this budget in agriculture, but I'd like to try at least a 1 acre patch of spike, you know, the granular that will kill any woody plant but not harm any of the grasses that we're doing, and on that north end, get that in right now. And sometimes you don't see it for almost a year, so we can put it on and then mow, but then it will get down in the roots and come up into the grass and into the sagebrush and the rabbit brush and start killing it out, because I think that that's the long term. It's expensive, but so is mowing every year for the last 10 years, and it still comes back up.
Yeah, like I said, I was talking maybe earlier too, that we need to sometimes it's on the top 25 or 50 list, you know, to have a continual life, you know, continuing project for Paul is before, you know, when he starts shutting the ranch down and then coming out, we need to start mowing. We need to spend serious time on the motor.
Yeah.
We need to get this whole well filled. I mean, this whole
airstrip,
Drum Hollow, up over off the side, east of the Half Moon, we need to do over here. Dustway, you know, this will increase our feed capability and could help our establishment with our cattle grazer.
Yeah.
So that to him means better feed for his cattle and so forth. So I think that really helps improvement.
Well, the thought was right now, while the Kubota's out, the pickup truck or anything could pull the John Deere seeder and drill in the next week while we're waiting. We can't do anything with a lot of this stuff until we have the Kubota back. But the pickup truck or possibly even the Rhino can pull that seeder around. I mean, it is very light and drill some of the well field that's close to the ranch house here while some of the other work's being done. And so I'll work with Paul to get some seed to any of this that wasn't done and to get some spike out right away so that this rain will put it in. And again, we won't know until April what either of them does, but it's the way it's got to go, right, Larry? Do you have any experience in spike and some of those kind of granular herbicides? I've got to go over to my place. I put quite a bit out on my two lots up in Crawford, and if I ever got to my lots, I'd know if it worked. And that was only 5 years ago. Hey, Brent, check that out for me, will you? Okay.
Moving on. Dale.
Got a bid of $1,500 to redo the vault, and I think that's a very reasonable price.
Appreciate the
one here in
the well field.
Not one here.
No, the one here in the well field.
We were looking at two different rows
of
ones
this morning.
The other one's in good shape.
And Grant's recommendation was to get it in repaired quickly. And Ben Robinson's bid looked like it's very reasonable. So if that's acceptable to the board, I'd say go ahead and do it.
Can I ask a question about that? Brent Robinson, was his plan, I saw the bids, I don't know exactly how it works, and Brent, maybe you might be able to tell me on this.
Paul.
So is he just going to dig up the 40 or 50 feet there and lay a new 60, straight line?
60 feet back.
Okay.
That's enough to get the angle of the pipe. What's going on is there's the manifold inside the vault with 245, which...
45 angle pipe's not good.
You know, it held up, but it's leaking at the bottom 45. My plan is to dig back 60 feet, enough to bring the pipe up and then back down level right into the manifold with ductile iron pipe.
What is the difference in that kind of pipe?
Pipe?
Ductile.
Steel and PVC.
Okay.
But he's just doing the last 10 feet of steel or something?
Probably 2 sticks or 3 sticks of ductile.
Yeah, okay.
I think Brent's bid did not include
did not include
material.
Ductile is very expensive.
I don't know that we need ductile for more than 20 feet.
Ductile if it's in line.
If it's in line or maybe a one piece or 10 feet, I mean, it's definitely not flexing.
Enough to get it out of the vault.
Yeah, enough to get it out of the vault, maybe. But without.
That's standard what they'd like to do on the wells. I mean, when they somebody shortcuts the well, they'll put the plastic coming out of the well instead of setting the first section of pipe, steel pipe. Because it takes all the impact.
Right.
Originally, I thought it takes ductile straight from there all the way. It can't be 100 feet to the valve right outside of the generator.
I think if you're using Schedule 40, that sometimes that plastic will flex and last longer than steel that starts getting, you know.
Well, I'm going to wrap it with plastic. I'm going to do it.
Use a C900. It's a better pipe than the
port.
What is it?
So is that about the strongest plastic,
yeah,
but still would be cheaper?
Yeah.
Is that the blue pipe?
The blue? Like
colors are different.
C900?
Colorblind. How would that look at the impact of the pump?
Well, if that pipe's in line, we're going to eliminate all that water damage that goes right directly to those elbows. Shauna came out. We toured the vault this morning. I explained to her the history of why it ended up that way. And the easiest thing to do, we don't need to do much more than just get ductile in the vault there from the manifold, from the shutoff valve out. Once it's outside the vault, the PVC is fine. And get it and that's just a few feet. Just get everything realigned, reset, and reburied.
And that would only be less than 1 foot.
It's pretty high. I can't imagine we need more than that.
So, Wayne Robinson, by the way, was a friend of dad.
He's been really sick.
Yeah.
I'll call him probably if I'm not going to.
I was going to announce that. So those that know or remember, Wayne built the road over the airstrip, had the ranch there in Podunk, then our neighbor for 50 years or whatever. So I think it's appropriate to have a moment of silence for Wayne Robinson. And those that remember him, Mill Brent, he did a lot of work for Deer Springs and stuff. And so I'd like to do that. Thank you.
Next item. Well, you asked me that one. I'm sure we're going to do ductile or we're going to do blue. You've got to make a decision.
Ductile out of the vault.
Okay.
We've got to trust each other.
Do we need a motion?
I'm looking at number eight, and I don't see anything else on there, but go ahead. Time's yours,
Dale. Clock ticking.
Doug Hunt wanted to move cattle out of the meadow down to Broad Hollow. Question is whether to activate the windmill, put the generator into the pump that's in that half moon well, or the natural thing to do is to get it out of Leaf Spring. Very simple thing. And so we put the water out of the Leaf Spring, pipe it down into the tank. Doug Hunt was super excited. So he's got water without anybody attending it. There's a bill for $180 for the pipe and the labor to get water out of the Leaf Spring. If you need a motion on that, then you can do it. The other item is Doug came to us and said he almost had heart failure. He was by at the north end of that, over 3 feet come out, and it's clear there's a 15-foot hole. And one of these cows has gotten in and died. And he thought it was a cow that he had just sold for $12,000. And he said he's just really simply not bad because that's being identified to begin with. He found out that it was not the $12,000 cow. But we took the tractor in, pulled her out, and we talked about fencing those two springs all these years. I would suggest that we immediately fence those two upper springs and at the same time fence the two good springs by the willows out west of the Finley Cabin. I have a group from Colorado City that's been here doing work right now. They do fencing and would be available to fence the two upper springs and the two central springs in the middle. This needs to be done to keep cattle out of those two areas. It would be a matter of a fence about 100 foot away from each of those water sources. And then I don't know what has happened about fencing by cabin one. We've talked about it for several years. And this group went on. Hold on.
Is that one sentence? I don't want to write so fast. Okay, are you making a motion to
I'm just asking for input from
There is nothing committed right now for the fence at cabin one. It needs to be done. And so if they're there, the first fence crew that can get to it needs to do it.
They've been begging me for fencing jobs. So the fence could be repaired or could be built, a new fence up by cabin one, and the old fence repaired from that one down to the well of the wet meadow, and these two spring areas fenced. I see in the budget we have $10,000 this year budgeted for.
Hey, keep your eyes off my categories, brother.
Yeah, no kidding.
if we got somebody fencing these springs right here legally, we need to have that spring fenced off there.
At the upper water system.
The upper water system. It needs to be fenced off because we can't have cattle getting in our water.
Which upper water system?
The spring at the upper cabin.
Like the grove area there.
Where I started putting posts in a while ago.
If they're right there, they're doing the setup. Let's just get this wrapped that up, too. That way we can see in compliance with this log.
This fencing would keep cattle out of that area. It completes the fence around the fish pond.
We would just keep them totally out of that area other than what Dale's saying. If we complete the cabin one fence and fix up around the ponds, fix the cattle guard wing walls, we would keep all cows out of the upper ponds and the spring area except for off season when we're not running cabin water, in early spring or late fall just for fire suppression. We may put the whole herd in there for 1 week to mow it down and then get them out and then not deal with dust and poop and everything else around the fish ponds in that spring area, right?
Yeah.
And again, then something that the members can watch, if there's a longhorn, once you cross that cattle guard at the upper pond, up around the cabins, we would try to keep them completely out of that area from where people are at. And it would serve the same purpose. We may need to then go back in and, fence right around the spring, but...
I'd complete the fish pond enclosure.
First.
And then, well, it was the first time, but I would complete that so that the fish pond will hold cattle.
Right.
When we want them there, not when we don't want them.
Or keep them out.
Those fences would also keep them away from the hidden cabin.
Right.
The spring area and the cabin in. It would be off limits to the cabin.
Well, and that's been the trouble. I've worked with Taylor a couple of times, but that the fence there by cabin one needs to be done by hand. We don't want to doze a road or a fence line up through there. It's a lot of hand work to trim limbs and string wire through the trees, and there's been some resistance to do that. You know, if these guys are able and willing to do that, I don't know if we can get a bid from them that we could approve first to just double check, make sure we are, and a couple of those springs in the well field, you know, the one by the big clump of willows, not in the well field, the wet meadow.
Two by willows, and then there's the two holes.
Some of those that are small, I would love, and I just think it would look nice if there was no barbed wire, if it was just a big square of you know, quaky logs or something that just keep them from that mucky hole, and any people could climb over, you know, the water will go downstream for the cattle and the wildlife, but the bigger ones definitely have got to be barbed wire, maybe the bottom ones too right now just to get them done. But if we had any poles around that we could do...
There were some poles up there that had...
You know, one or two of those small ones, that are they all gone?
The poles?
Yeah.
Oh, they're rotted.
Okay.
They're pretty old.
Well, I support getting four springs.
Right now, I think...
The number... the
spring area, cabin one, and the fish pond area.
And tighten up the fish ponds needs to be done, so... Let's get a price or a max or a something. I think, you know, they've given me some labor prices, but it didn't include material or whatever. And
have we purchased any material for any of that?
No.
No.
Okay,
yeah.
Just making sure.
Painter was going to have a whole bunch of material set aside for us at our price lock last year. Did you do that?
I don't think so. No. When we got right to the end of the year and stuff, we were actually scrambling, Jody, with money to bud, you know, hold over a couple of things. We thought we were going to have some extra money, but we had a couple of things that we went ahead and spent. And so I will double check with him. You know, he's been on this big highway job. I think that's done. And so if we can, you know, if what's that?
They were still there yesterday.
This isn't something we got to wait till next meeting.
No, we've got to get moving on it. Yeah, so I think that if we can get
it. I don't know whether you want me to do it or somebody else to do it.
I think Taylor's had lots of time. I think we just
have to go. Right. Now, but yeah, I wouldn't wait on anybody. I would.
They're actually here right now.
Now we've lost the
town.
Yeah.
They're interested, and I think they'll get some of the work.
And that's what I'm saying. I would just like to see a bid first, but I would do it.
Yeah. And we got it. Just move it. So let's make a motion that Dale.
Well, can we get a bid first? Can we get a bid first and then pass off to the board so we know what it is?
No.
Yes. That's how everything needs to be done.
What do you want to compare the bid to?
Well, just so we know what the numbers are.
To our budget.
Yeah. And then we'll take it with yours, whatever you've got going for fencing. And
I don't have anything going. I'm not saying hold up at all. I think that there is...
Do you have any fencing that we still need to do?
Oh, we've got...
Okay, I'm making the motion.
You got that little stuff I put
on. Dale.
Yeah.
Move forward with getting the fencing done. Is anybody listening?
Yes, Dale would request a bid to get the fencing done. We can make a decision on
They can just need to take some time, like anybody, and measure it and look at it and tell us how much supplies need to be ordered, if they're going to order it and get it here, or they need Paul to order it from Schultz's or whatever and be delivered to Kanab. Somebody's got to coordinate that. So,
we're all going to do it.
Yeah. It's protecting.
The gentleman forward with it, something getting and something getting.
So between.
Yes.
And in the process, we see a proposal.
You need a second. Well, in the proposal, they can get a bid. Send it out with us. We can. You know.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. What's next, Bill?
That's all.
Okay. Who's next?
Hey.
Donna.
Ken already did a verse test. No, he didn't. Okay.
Person, anything else?
I have, on our activity, I don't know about you guys, but we have been talking about doing a last annual Olympics on the 3rd, 4th. There's still people who want to do the annual Olympics. I don't know. I was talking to Nancy, and we kind of want to
try that one more time this year. They're back. They're going to scout for general. I mean, to do the killer cook-off that we did. We want to try this one last time. Maybe more people start paying attention. There are, each year we get kind of new, different people. So it takes a while for it to grow. Anyway, so we are still proposing to do that again at the end of August. It has to be after Western Legends, so that would be the following Saturday, which is
as long as there's not a pancake eating contest.
You're tired of eating a pancake.
Well, we had two more.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
no, like
okay. Okay. So,
these whole week ones.
We have the calendar.
Remember, our annual meeting is in the second weekend in September. Am I correct?
Yep.
Second of August?
Yeah. Second weekend in September.
The annual meeting.
Okay, the recess is on.
Weekend after Labor Day.
Is it Labor Day? Is that the Labor Day weekend?
We should do it on...
That's July. Oh, that's a good job. I'll go back to August.
If you do it Labor Day weekend, we might get a better response.
Mm-hmm. Which is the 30th of August. 31st of August.
It's 2 August 31st.
Okay. Then they can get their awards at the annual meeting.
Maybe. I don't
know. Okay. What about frisbee golf?
We got that.
You do have it?
In fact, I have frisbee in here and everything's in a book. Inside that office.
Don't work very well with the wind. But I think we should invest in some real changes and some real people love that.
I got the frisbees already. Did you see all those? Yeah, frisbees. I don't know how to play.
That's
picking up all over.
That's
going to
be the next level support thing you want to see.
Okay, we're going to keep working on that. Anything else?
Okay,
Ben, what happened to Ben?
Took a break.
Oh, he lost his stamp. Dale's got something else, so going back.
While these men are here doing this fencing, I would also suggest that they fence leaf spring. If the cattle get in there, the cattle watering goes off within 10 minutes. The cattle get up in there at all. We've messed with that thing now all these years to put a good...
It's doing a fence. We need to do a fence around leaf spring.
Around leaf spring. Once and for all, we'll take care of it for the next, 30, 40 years. Instead of messing with that, if these men can do it, I'll have to ask them whether they will or not, because it's all uphill and to keep cattle out of these spring areas will make all the difference in the world, and I was in putting pipe in that leaf spring, and it was a little fresher. Cattle get in there, and they'll undo everything that we did. So I would suggest talking with the guys about seeing if they would take that on. And these men are staying in cabin 10. I understand cabin 10 may be open the rest of the summer. That would be a way that they could...
Actually, Dave's got it next weekend. On the 20th? 19th,
20th? Yeah, next week.
Is there a cabin available for them to use?
Four.
Yeah, four I think is open.
Four is available.
It would be.
Can you negotiate that in the bid, too? Put them in the right off of that.
Say what again?
Can you negotiate that in the bid? We provide. They can stay there.
Dale's using his time.
Okay.
All right. Back then on
okay.
The...
Yes. You want to use my time to pay me for it or let him use it as a courtesy of the race?
Well, okay. I was asking Linda about taking that off the bid, make it like a nice little way to... compensate for them staying in our place. Yeah, I think so. That way we wouldn't have to use your time and they just take that and I have to figure out a reasonable way
to
stay.
Are we going to agree to that? Everybody's agreed to it? I think that's a
Yeah, well, I'm
yeah, that's in Dale's proposal. That he had, during they're working on that, they stay in the association cabin, whichever is available, is part of consideration of their bid, and they give us a price based on that.
Sounds good.
Okay. You good, Dale?
Yes.
Okay, Ben, on the earth staff.
I'm not sure why if I brought that up or...
It's about 2 months old.
Yeah, you're
right. Well, it happened in May, and I may have brought it up, and so it was something to report. We can remove it now. They have it every year in May. They were... Oh, they were another group that came up through the ranch to do night viewing of the constellation at the north end of the ranch. So it was another group that had requested I put on the agenda to get them permission in May. We had no problem as far as I know. So that's why it's still on here. I even forgot.
Nancy, what about the laundry? Where are we at on that? Moving to facilities and cabin maintenance this week.
I have a huge truckload to go to town on Monday.
I thought you washed everything last time you went in.
Oh, no. Yeah. So everything that was in that laundry shed had mouse poop or mouse pee or mouse nest or whatever in it. It was awful.
And
awful.
A lot that had been put in there and not done.
There's bags of sheets that were back behind everything under a shelf somewhere that were dirty sheets, you know, just stuffed in a bag back there
right.
that someone had brought in or whatever. And when I first got in here, I was under the impression that it was just the things that were in front that were dirty. So I started going through things, but everything was open and nothing was... The windows weren't shaped or anything, so there was dirt.
We're in the process of gutting it, and I think...
painting it.
Painting it and putting some paneling up
on the roof.
On the ceiling to keep the sheetrock from falling on, just some paneling to go up there and... Nice
and I haven't looked at it, but what else needs to be done on the outside?
I dug it out,
yeah.
That side, and I suggest we do like a keystone box with a waterproof backing behind it with a French drain in front of it. Larry Clarkson did some rating up, you know, two little ditches, which might just be one, but
Larry's right behind you.
Inside the road there to keep the water from coming down. It's just going to shut off. So no water's going to come down. Other than just normal, and there's always this freak rainstorm, but I propose just doing a keystone block with a waterproof barrier.
Can we use rocks instead of going keystone blocks? Just to keep it.
I agree.
And so we won't have the water going through it anymore. We'll have the water going
around. You can't look at it. I mean, it's all rotten. You know, and it's an old building.
Well, I think we've got to, if we just take one sheet of treated plywood, stuff that's impregnated, that green board that takes water, and rip it so it's 2 feet high, screw that, and then put a bitumen solid plastic barrier and dirt right now while we have the Kubota or whatever, and then as we have a chance, and it would be a great project for somebody to haul rock on the east side of the west side of the well field along this ridge and just stack in there and hand mud it in. It would look nice, or if it's just dry stacked. But I like just this rock along the hillside more than bringing in keystone. But I think we needed something to firm it up and then to hold the waterproofing, and it will be good.
What about cement board?
Well, that's the same thing. Cement board or this stuff. It's
paint it with dry lock.
What's that?
Paint it with dry lock afterwards to make it double waterproof.
Well, the solid liner is a heavy plastic. No water will go through it.
There's no hot water.
We've talked about the hot water coils and, but, you know, 160 loads, I think she did.
I've done about 130 single loads since I've been here.
The idea behind that was once we get everything up and going, we have a low cabin maintenance. We have a low cabin occupancy this whole rest of this year.
Right.
She actually did some loads last night.
We can do some here and there.
And the solar you're talking about
cold
this
water.
Morning.
Cold, but I don't
care about blankets and comforters, but some towels I think need to be.
And so this is, once you get caught up, this will, and what are we doing as far as hot water? Is that just another project?
Not any, but we're talking about running the tube on top of that building.
Solar.
Solar.
That's another major.
No, it's not.
No, very minor.
Okay.
It's doable.
Okay. That's all fun over there. Okay, Mike. So this is the cabins 1, 7, and 8. Where are we at on that? Is there a report?
Larry Meltzer went up and looked at it. He feels like if we rent a Bobcat, he can go in and do that. He said a front loader or
back loader. Little tackle.
Yeah, it won't work. He needs to, it would need to be smaller like a Bobcat. He said we won't be able to get around back with anything larger than that. So he sent me an email, but it came in last night when I was here, and I haven't been able to get on it because they've got the system down for this.
And is there a reason, and he's able to do that, is there a reason why Larry can't do it, someone else, or...
Or Brent Robinson while he's here.
We had talked to Larry Meltzer about doing it, and I will have to email you.
Yeah, but do we need dirt imported?
Sounds like it.
I mean, while Brent's here, we've got a lot of places to haul dirt. So
sorry, I skipped down to C. I was talking about cabin 3. I'm sorry, fill dirt needed at cabins 1, 7,
yeah.
and 8. 1, 7, and 8 are where the porch is coming out, and it's undermining the porch on 7 and 8. And on 1, over that pipe.
All right.
That's what that's
but about. That's what
we get the Kubota back.
He can do that.
The bring, a bucket, you know, if I'm doing some work up there, to grab a bucket. Yeah,
he can do that.
But like I said, while Brent's here, if he has his backhoe and his dump truck that he pulls his backhoe with to do this vault, for him to run two loads of dirt that he digs wherever or gravel out of the gravel pit and dumps it, and you could spread it, get that done.
Okay.
Okay.
You can get some dirt over the pipe on number 1?
Yeah. Put some dirt there, and then the other gravel, the under the porch, it'd be nice just to fill it with, you know, bank run out of the pit so that it doesn't erode away again.
Right.
You know, it doesn't grow weeds. It's just a nice surface when it rains.
Too big rock.
But number 1 just needs...
No rocks.
You know, a foot of dirt first, and then it could... Well, we don't want them parking on that still,
no,
so dirt.
No.
But just have Brent do that.
Yeah.
Roll it in that 1500. Tell him I said... I committed him to two loads
He'll
of dirt.
For it.
Send it, put it on my tab.
Paul continued to be certified to do the water system, take more classes.
I don't know, the two other classes, I need C used every so often to keep my certification current. That's with any certification room. Often, if you see on my work report that I'm in Kanab or in St. George at a water class, that's what's going on. They're free, a lot of them.
Have you done online?
There is an annual
recertification.
You know, go to class for a week in St. George. I've done it for the last 3 years. That's on next year.
Okay.
If you see, you know, I'm at a class or I'm at, that's what that's about.
Okay. Jody? 11.
Okay. We had a first agenda come out, and then we had a second agenda come out, because a lot of the stuff from the first agenda were on the last month's agenda, still on this one. So we scratched through a lot. The email, Jody, we already went through last week.
We had a third agenda.
Off. Yeah, we have a third agenda. A and B scratched off because we've already been through that. C, Lynn and I are still working on that. There's been too many things over the last month to deal with that, but we'll work on that. PCNR's update, I sent everybody on the board a week before the last meeting to look over until the end of June, get back notes to me. I have not heard back from anybody. So does that mean that I'm okay to take that to the attorney now and have him look over that? Or is there still more input to be had, but I don't want to keep working on it further if there's not any other participation from the board about that?
Do you know if those on the committee that were on the teleconference calls from months ago have looked at it? And
I sent that to them, too. But,
like Vance Green was involved.
Yes.
Has he read them? Dale?
Yes.
Do you know the latest? Have you had time to look at the latest round of PCNRs that Jody sent out?
Okay, I have a problem with this because if people are not receiving their emails or whatever,
Yeah, there really isn't a communication, because we can't just assume that it's going to be okay to do until we actually call them on the phone, get to me to do something, I'm bringing it out. But we none of us have a copy of the PCNR.
Yeah, no, she sent them out, so.
But you got to have response. Nobody responds up here.
Right.
I'm sorry. It's not even okay to move if you don't have a response.
Yeah, I disagree. She's got to continue to push forward, and I appreciate what Jody's doing.
I can't hold you guys responsible for what if you're not going
to
read it.
Yeah, no, those that want to, we just got derailed with our management issue, some of these emergencies, all of June and July.
So
I just think we need to take a little time, though, I think we have it. I know that I do. Jody, if you'll resend it and focus on it. But for us to be successful, what we wanted to do, it needs to go to the membership.
Yeah, September.
For the September meeting, which means it's got to go out in August. So we got to get it to the attorney pretty soon.
Right.
So can we send it out and have a week or so for people to really look at it and see? You know, we've already agreed on 80% of it, 90%. There was the hot issues that I think Jody's gone through and tried to come up with a hybrid that met everybody's needs. We just need to look at that and see if everybody's in agreement. Enough to at least have the attorney look at to make sure we're in compliance with Utah State Code.
Would the people on the board double check their emails once again? Because I did find a couple old emails sent to my old email address that I tried to not go into anymore because of that. So some of that stuff is going to areas it's not supposed to go to. So
that's why I'm saying the communication doesn't actually take place. Well, let's put we have telephones, we have texts, we can do all kinds of stuff, but make it more than one way. I will email this out again this week. If you guys don't have it by the end of the week, call me. Or email me and let you know you didn't get it. I will fax it to you if you need it. So I will do that when I get back to the cabin.
Can you guys tell me what PCNR is asking for?
Yeah.
Covenants and restrictions.
Protective covenants and restrictions.
Okay. We're just trying to get...
Nowadays they're called CCNRs for most subdivisions. This, you know, back then they were... That's what they were actually labeled. So they're the guidelines or the bylaws. Well, they're not the bylaws. They're recorded against the 20-acre individual lots, but are the governing bylaws. And so it's something that to amend them takes a 2/3 majority vote. You know, it's been worked on for, hasn't been redone for 20 years since the last time. It was attempted years ago, but, you know, it's coming down to kind of a 50-50 vote. We're trying to get consensus and buy-in from everybody on the few contentious issues so that we can get it reviewed by our attorney, everybody compromise, whatever, because if we don't pass them again this year, we know that both sides or three sides, whatever, all lose because there's a lot of things we all agree need to be done, but everybody, you know, somewhat has held out, or it really just hasn't been addressed by any board for years now, and so, again, Jody has taken that on in her responsibility.
What happened to the $6,000 Joe Paul spent?
We've taken in, she's done a spreadsheet that had, what is our current CCNRs? The last time it went to a vote, Phil Hall was the president of the association, spent a lot more than $6,000, but a lot of, you know, association money went to attorneys to write up what was proposed. There was some other things, and so Jody has lined those up side by side in a spreadsheet to say, here's Group A, B, and C's opinions and how they wanted it worded, and we've gone through, as the board and the committee, we've had a conference calls to go through and say, first, what can we all agree on that isn't even a problem? We all agree and get that out of the way. And then what were the five contentious issues that there is a difference of opinion, and let's bang heads until we come up with something that works. And so she's about got that. I think that, I mean, I'd make a motion that by the end of July, they go to the attorney and they post on the website for members to start reading.
The issue with that, then, if we do a motion for it, if what I'd like this to happen is after this next week, get input back from the rest of the board on those issues or anything else that we want to update or change in that. And that way, at that point, if we need to have another conference call, we'll do it then and hash out the last bit of it. I hate to say by a deadline date, take it to the attorney no matter what's happened, because
What I don't want to see is any more work being done on it, and then at the last minute having a whole new.
Right, and that's what happened, because then it is,
and
we wasted money, and
yeah,
we're back to a stalemate. And
right.
So, I mean, but we need to keep going forward.
This whole week, after you get the Blue Vision 4, review them, send me back the information. If we need to have another conference call, we'll set it up and get that done.
Okay.
And then we'll move from there.
Jody, look, your time, I mean, you're putting more time in this than anybody. Can I suggest that it's free? Let's set a time for a conference call, even if it's good. You and I, or whoever shows up.
Okay.
And that's the thing. It's going to move forward. If you make the conference call,
okay,
great. If you can't, then fine. Even if I can't. You know, it just forces us. That's the problem. We'll lose the next 2 months if we don't set a deadline. So I would send them out again Monday or, you know, as soon as you can with a deadline that works for you. It's just a conference call for the committee and the board and, you know, that we're working on to revisit it. I mean, it's been almost 6 months, but to really focus on those last few things, you just say...
It needs to be set time for everybody. Then it can't just be, okay, this is time, and then everybody's busy doing things, and they can't show up.
She'll send out those... Right. So she'll send out an updated copy and the notice of when a conference call will be out a week or so. And
I'll ask you for your input, like what days are good or what times are good.
Yeah, we're...
Because your next is a holiday, that you won't take.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Or the battery.
Okay, along the same lines, going back to communication, too, I was going on the website yesterday looking at how long it's been since we've had our minutes posted online. Since October of last year, we have not posted any minutes online for the meetings, and this is a really, really bad thing. We do have some audios up. I think, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but I'm thinking that all the minutes were approved this year except for February. So do we agree with that? And we can get those posted right away then, so get them online. I'm not including this month, June. So has everything been approved except for February and June?
I think so. Everything that I know.
I think everything up through January was okay. February was one that was controversial.
Yeah.
March, we did not have a meeting.
Right, so we had April was approved.
April was approved. May was approved. June, it was the last meeting.
Okay. We have to change before we can approve it. We could do that online, but we just need to.
We can tell Vance to go ahead and post.
I have no problem with that.
Okay.
Just a curiosity. Has any of the members complained that the
men
aren't there, that they've missed them?
Yeah, a couple people.
A couple people. I haven't heard any.
I had a general conversation, not email.
Hey, Fidel was here last week.
Yeah, he was.
I drive with 30 minutes all the time.
Getting it on.
I heard from Woodley's over there, too. They were talking about it.
Okay. Dave, you've got comments already that need to be on.
No, go ahead. I just said I look for the minutes all the time, and I look for the next meeting, too, and the only reason I found this meeting was because it was under agenda. It wasn't under next meeting, and I'm real frustrated about what's going on. I feel like I'm just out in the blue.
Okay. Well, we always try to have the meeting the second Saturday, and sometimes it gets canceled, of course, but... sometimes we try to do it on, if it's going to be canceled, then, or at least if we're not going to do it in person, we're going to do it on line or just a telephone call that people can call in on. So we have more board members that live out of town than we have people in town and can have, so we've tried some options. So we'll be better.
If there's anything, send us an email or advance, because if he's changed where he was posting it, because, you know, he's been posting it, if it changed. I mean, the location last minute did get, you know, voted to have here at the ranch instead of in town was the plan.
Did the website get fixed?
Was the website a problem?
Yeah, we had it on our minutes last week. For what? The color, the updated, the
No, we're waiting for input. Dale's wondering what it, so we said some suggestions to Vance. We hope it's
good. It's still working. It needs a fresh facelift.
There's nothing wrong with it. If you just don't like the colors, then we can change colors.
It's all outdated.
We can change pictures.
Yeah.
But, you know, keep in mind, too, we are not a commercial site. We are for the member site.
Yeah,
if you want splashy and things like that, then that needs to be on a whole different site. site that like a realtor would use to sell things with. That's not our site. Ours is information site, just about a membership.
Old information.
And some of that needs to be taken off. Yeah. So.
Yeah,
but he can't do that without your request.
Yeah, he has brought that up several times, and he's the one that said,
yes.
I know that this person doesn't even own a lot at Deer Springs. Please give me the contact name or whatever, and I'll post it.
Mm-hmm.
He has been fabulous at doing whatever we ask him to do, but he cannot function in a vacuum.
So moving on, we still need to figure out a way we're going to approve the February minutes, so do we want to do that in executive? Or I don't think that needs to be executive. That needs to be out. We need to approve the February minutes or get something done that we can approve to get those resolved, because this is already July. How do we do that? And when
I suggest you do it in executive meeting, just discussion, then we can decide from there on.
Yeah, we need to, because I think that was the concern was some of the executive session of February that was posted that should not have been.
Let me bring it back to the membership, what was decided on.
Yeah.
All right, can we post it? That's going to be in the executive then. That's all I got.
Right. Anything on rent, communications and reservations, web development? We talked a little bit about that.
I thought Ryan was coming.
He's supposed to be on site.
He could.
Oh, okay.
So, yes, I do have one thing on that, too. Can we get another radio for Nancy, or do we get the other one back?
We got it back.
We got it back?
Yeah. By the way, I have the other things to turn in, camera, charger, keys.
Come get them.
And a trail cam.
I
think these are the last things that we needed from Chris, unless that I know for sure he did. I'll work with you on that, and then that should work. We need memory cards, so I don't know how many. If not, we need to buy some more 8 gigs. I had enough to change them out, and those are both empty. I don't know that camera may only take a 4 gig. But
I think we need to get a couple extra radios, period, to have available in case something does happen.
Hey, Mr. Podog Bob, could we please impart upon your attention? But radios is the topic. Any idea of, they're saying we need more radios. Do you have any plans of ordering more, or you're done? I resign?
You can go on Amazon, and you can get them for $35.
Okay, would you at least email a link on the Amazon radio that will work on this system? Because for us idiots, I don't know the difference between that and a marine radio. That Vance could post on the website, and anybody can go on and buy it, and then talk to Ryan Dedensky or Bob or something that will help to understand the sheets.
It has to be programmed.
It needs to be programmed, but then you also, you know, because I handled a lot of the radios, and the first one didn't, and the other one came with a cheat sheet that showed what stations we were using, so we're not talking illegally on emergency frequencies. That should be posted on the website under radio etiquette.
It is posted on the
website. Okay. So if we just had that link, everybody can go on and get their best deal. We're talking less than $50. Bob got the other order, but it's just like any high-tech, the price comes down. You can get better radios now than the first ones that he got. It was nice that Bob programmed them, but, again, he can explain, I think, you know, have that on the website, how to do it yourself. Because it's something, I own two of them, and I still don't know how to turn them on. I didn't even bring them, you know, but if I was bringing my family up where I am worried, you got to invest enough time to learn how to run them, or buying them is worthless.
We were just told that now there is a tower for $500 to $700 that you can get reception on yourself. And I would love that. I still don't. I mean, when Alshel was here, I could get reception at 4, 5, or 6 places. Maybe if we contact, I think, I don't know how many have Verizon, but if Verizon would be smart, they would buy the Alltel towers wherever they are. But if there is some way for $500 to $700 for the rent to be able to facilitate, I can follow up on that or someone, that we can have better reception for ourselves. I have had no service since I left 89.
So we have,
I think you should follow up on that
somewhere. You can go and get service if you have Verizon.
Has anybody in the ranch that knows Tech and stuff worked anymore with the app that turns an iPhone into a walkie-talkie that then will go over the radio. What's that?
Voxer
was one. That's not the name I downloaded. There's a...
Talkatone?
But there's a couple of apps you can download that then should work at Deer Springs where you could, in at least an emergency... Well, but that's, but at least if somebody could get to the ranch or something and then over the Wi-Fi still at least communicating it, and we can do that now, but there's a lot of Lynette that is not aware of that or other people that are up here a lot.
But the Wi-Fi is password protected.
Yeah.
So it doesn't do me any good. They won't be able to get on the Wi-Fi.
Well... But don't we have the Wi-Fi where, I mean, it is password protected just so that we're not burning bandwidth, but it should be open to the members in an emergency case.
It's always open to the members, isn't it?
It's only 6 to 8.
Oh.
And then
6 to 10 or something.
You know, so if you're here in Newtown, what do you do?
Oh.
Well, that, these are good things to know. Where are we? Because we brought in a second Wi-Fi carrier for Jeff and Evie.
That's true.
Vance had set up the first system, and we had trouble, and so he and other members said, hey, we already paid for it out of our pocket. We'll self-fund and use that, and we, the association, we got a separate carrier.
Here's that.
But, well, I don't know, but we between one of them, we should be able to, out of the budget, it does affect enough people, and those of us that don't use it, it'll be the one time that you have the emergency you're going to wish you had.
Well, and I have the little thingy, right? Of course, I didn't learn it because I don't
have it. I
don't
know if you want it,
but, well, but a lot of that, if you're here at the ranch yard and can get on Wi-Fi, then you could FaceTime.
Yes, I'll FaceTime.
Are you on Alltel?
I am. No, I was on Alltel when I got reception at least 10 places on the ranch. And then AT&T. Now I'm on Verizon because AT&T.
I got an AT&T home, and I can get no signal.
Hi, Paul.
50% of the time, but I get an emergency call only 100% of the time.
Yeah, that's
I
true.
Dial 911 call any.
That's true.
Wow.
Well,
about a 10-day
dial. When they nobody bought that.
Well, but what are you talking about though? And people just need to understand. If you dial 911, it doesn't matter who owns the tower. It may it'll cost you on your bill, but people just need to know. If you have a number and you call 911, you will, most places of the ranch, be able to get to the sheriff's department, call in an emergency. You may have a $5 charge on your phone bill, but it'll roam. You know, they have laws that it doesn't matter who owns the towers. It'll relay and bounce around until it gets to somebody.
I called this come out here, as we know now. I called the 911 for Lady Dollar the other week, and I turned my phone on. This says emergency call only, no signal. 911 went right through.
Okay, so that's something, though, just to know, because there is...
I have a niece right here, out here, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I mean, yep. There's been some things happening in the last couple of weeks. You're talking to everybody.
No, but we're duplicating. You have two of those you already bought and paid for. Why spend $700 on another thing? I know. You can use this. FaceTime me right now. And I and you can talk to each other. Yes, we can.
Yeah, they just did.
Yeah, it's education. Not we don't need to buy more gadgets. We need to learn how to run the ones we have.
It only works if you got Wi-Fi.
Right, but we need to have the Wi-Fi open to the membership on an emergency basis.
Don't you have to have a password, like you said? Okay,
and that's a huge issue that
I heard Mark come in last night. I heard you come in.
I don't want to schedule my ranch time around when Wi-Fi fails.
No, this is a whole other issue that's coming up. We need to somehow have a revolving password. Again, they have it, and Vance can figure it out. If anybody can, he can. Like in Knapp. I can go, Knapp's a hotspot. If I came from France, I can hook up in the hotspot in Knapp. I have free Wi-Fi for 48 hours. It will automatically take the IP from my phone, and it'll cut me off in 48 hours. From anywhere in the world, it knows that now my phone's there. It's a temporary thing, and it resets once here. So people that come to the ranch just for one time, they can access Wi-Fi, but it's also got to be each IP address for each individual device, you have 5 minutes of bandwidth or whatever, and if you're watching a Netflix movie up here, you watch the credits at the front and it cuts you off. It's not for watching movies and downloading pornography. I mean, that's our problem, is people that have been watching movies or downloading, you know, 100 books or whatever.
Figure that out.
Vance told me, he looked at the backside of it. He caught me. Yeah, well, I figured I'd get somebody's attention. I knew you were falling asleep.
Wipe that from the restroom.
Oh, he got that up because I was looking at a coupon deal on a restaurant in Salt Lake called Sin City. And the minute I hit that, it cut me right off.
No.
I mean, it just shut off the internet and I couldn't even get back on.
So he's got it protected pretty good. Well, but it is for communication. If it's basically texting or whatever, short communications is fine. If somebody comes to the cabin and says, hey, I want to browse the internet because I can't sleep for 4 hours, and they're watching a bunch of YouTube videos, you can't do that. You're talking a drop in the bucket to a 40,000-gallon tank, and that's where our problem was. And so...
figure out how to take my phone off the call.
On communications, last meeting when we left here, I ran into a couple of people heading back into town. We've had this discussion time and time again about how cars, if you go rent a car right now, it sends you up this way to go to Bryce Canyon. And at the same token, in the Johnson Canyon, I programmed into my GPS on my truck to go to Bryce Canyon, and it redirects me back down to town. I think there's something they set up. Well, I talked to some people on the way out of here after the last meeting. I stopped to talk to Dale about it. That the local visitor center was recommending to people that come into town to take this way to Bryce Canyon.
And they'll do it in the wintertime, too.
Okay.
And you should have seen, in as dark and black as it was yesterday with the 4 flash floods that are out there, there was a car out here in the middle of the road coming up here, and as I was coming up on them, they turned the turn signals on to pull off the side of the road, which I got my wife laughed about that. I pulled up to him and rolled the window, and I said, let me guess, you're lost, right? They're from Europe. And you can just say, yeah. And I said, you're looking for Bryce Canyon, right? They go, I said, turn around and go to Canass 89.
I've already turned 3 people around just this year. And because I accept the Canyon weather, there are these people are getting looking at Bryce Canyon Way, and they had already apparently tried to go through south on Bryce Canyon Way to go to Bryce Canyon. And so I gave them instructions and showed them on their map, because some of them can't even speak English.
Many of them don't even have a map.
So we are going to continue to have that issue by them going by their GPS.
Well, you know what? I will volunteer to go to the visitor center and have a discussion with them.
They recommended this
process. Oh, I know.
I'll go do that. Even
talk to the director, and he'll correct that.
I'll direct it. I'll take
care of it. Tell the new people.
With them?
Tell the new people to come into the BLM, and they're here for 6 months and leave, and they have no idea where everything is.
We get them out of our house all the time.
I think Canab needs to rename those streets. Yeah. Brian and Bryce don't need to be there.
There's street
that was crazy.
Canab says Bryce Canyon this way. They should follow the signs, not the.
They don't make it to Canab. They come from Page and Turner.
Sheriff was at my cabin 3 days ago looking for cabin number 6. I mean, lot number 6. Their GPS put them on my lot.
Sheriff, that's right.
Japanese people that were stuck out here, they were going to Codicombe Basin, and somehow their GPS had led them there, and they were there for 3 days and had no water.
Oh, my God.
Japanese.
And we are the closest. And if you put in shortest time or shortest distance, we are the closest to Codicombe.
Hey,
but
let me, on communication, sorry, but I'm going to put a plug in. Those that are up here in communication, is everybody that wants to connected in with Everbridge?
No.
For the Kane County Emergency Alert?
Done.
There's cards all over.
Yeah.
So if you go on everbridge.com, I think, is the website, If there's a pandemic, if there's a flash flood alert, if there's anything, it will send you a text out of from Alan Aldridge as the head search and rescue safety person for Kane County Sheriff's Department. I think it's just called everbridge.com. But
if you have family, I mean, those of us who live locally, if you have family away.
Right, have them sign up so that they can, they'll get alerts and know.
So they'll know.
Who to contact? I mean, it's this whole thing. Whether there's a avian flu outbreak or a lockdown or anything, that's going to be the system that they've set up for Kane County residents or anything. And so, it's
the radio station.
Yep. Just like it is. Everbridge.com. I think.
All right. Anything else on number 12 items about communication? All right, 13, last items, number
I can't tell you how many thousands of dollars to have an approval to put a landfill out here. As individuals, we can do that, because you can do it as an individual. But to do it as an association or a nonprofit would be like, we have to set up like a city, which would have so many restrictions right away, we could never afford it. We don't want to do it that way. So we can do it in a different way. Yeah, you can do that with your own land, but you cannot do it. You could never afford to do that.
So we'll just keep running it.
Everybody
all right, number two.
Okay.
Well, we just recently... Go ahead.
I wanted to finish one of the things. I did bring out the guy sprayed the weed.
She did not have
what? Where did she get that information?
I didn't hear.
I think I gave you that application.
Yeah, I have it.
I don't know.
It's not any money. It's work to fill out that stupid 80-page form, but that's it.
Well, because he went around the other section to that and then came. Well, because the road that we told him, we gave him the direction.
Yeah.
Until there was one section of that wide canyon, and he followed his mess, because he went around the other part.
Okay,
he came in because there were worse over there, I guess, and so I didn't take the back up. I kind of general report. Well, he didn't see the whole slide. We went around, he looped around, and then I saw Henry. Sorry, I didn't. Maybe Emily reported that.
That's
good.
It's like a five.
Yeah,
everybody
knows. Linda. No, Winslow,
but it's good thoughts. Yeah. So if it ever gets planted, it's 40
years. Yeah. Okay. Anyway,
that's what we're asking. We're
just
figure out how to
eat. That'd be a good idea. We have two insurance policies. We have one policy with Farmers Insurance in town, and that is for our automobile. Just one. The white truck now is on it. That's it. And it covers what we need on that. The other one is with Summit Insurance, and both of them went up a little bit this year, but Summit covers our liability on the ranch, and it also covers the... Rhino also is on that Summit Insurance. I talked with some people about it, and they said, if you have insurance on the ranch, do not mess with it, because so many are being dropped now. Insurance companies don't want them. They said if they're continuing to renew with you, just renew it and be happy you got it, because you can't get it once you've dropped it. So that's our Summit policy. The Farmers Insurance is pretty much in line with other insurance, so I can't. I just lost one. Can't complain about that one. And
why is it on a separate one? Why is it not all in one?
Thank you.
Because the Summit. Again, you don't want to mess with it. You start any.
Everything was on Summit, but we started bringing some of the vehicles back to Kanab out of Farmers for a better price than Summit and easier.
Well, in my agent, I talked to him about a lot of things. So on here, he'd be happy to give us a quote. So I don't know that, I mean, there's a lot of competition out there, and it's not like no one will pick us up. So
for automobile, that's true.
Yeah, for automobile.
For liability.
For liability and your property, I think.
For here.
Well, and you got to remember, with Summit, we've had two humongous claims. Yeah. We're talking tens of thousands of dollars. We had two lawsuits that Summit Insurance, subcarrier, whoever, forked over $50,000 on two different lawsuits. And so any new coverage and say, hey, we want your business, we'll look at it. As soon as they look at our history and say, oh, the last insurance company got sucked for $100,000.
Did we lose these lawsuits?
We settled both of them out.
We settled out.
But the main drain was just
That loss run report plays havoc with you.
Right. The main thing was them paying an attorney to even investigate and defend the claims. And okay. And so that's where I think we're still, till we get a few years behind us with not a claim, I wouldn't mess with Summit too much.
All right. Anything else? Like Dale, your net?
Probably just supposed to be scratched here. This is all last meeting.
Well, let's just check with them, make sure if anything still needs to be covered.
Oh, the install road.
It's a different agenda than was mailed out yesterday.
Yeah, this is an old one because that's what I had printed on Thursday and got the information. I came up last night, so I got the information on the third one too late. But the one that we left on, then number 14, is number 3, install road and lot sign.
That's all we need is number 3 on that.
And I still have questions about email voting, if that's anywhere here.
That was earlier, but yeah.
That was earlier.
I know, she brought it and scratched it, but I still have questions about it. Okay. So it's still on my agenda here.
Okay.
I don't know if we're going to talk about a general manager. I think we're delighted that Paul and Nancy are here. They're part of the management. The use of the business account. Hopefully that's lined out now.
That is.
And some of the installing roadside, I don't know if anybody here is interested in that. We have a plan for 10 years. That's the 10 years.
Is Kyle working on those?
For all of them.
Okay.
So we're in the process of putting some of them up.
Okay, yeah, we were going to do that basically with Taylor. We have a postal digger now. We could put them in real easy if we had access to the tractor or something like that.
But aren't you guys just driving stations? Not with those folks, are
you?
Yeah, it's a great thing for members and a map and.
I still have about, I didn't know what you're doing, I still have 8 of them that still need to be painted at my house.
I'd say bring them out and just bring
them down here.
Some lot owners can do it themselves.
Right.
If they find out which number fits their lot.
Okay.
And,
if every lot owner has one, they should run their own
lot. So we're getting someone, so let's not worry about that here.
Bring it to the annual meeting, see if anybody wants to put their lot on.
That's a great idea, Mark.
I'm very interested in the four motions, the pass, and the whatever you're going to talk about as far as female voting. And I think we've already voted on the new officer, so Mark was released, and Dale was, Davey was put in as the president, so I think that's been a process.
Okay. Bouncing back up to email voting, the conclusion is more of us live out of town than in town, and there are some items that need to be decided on, and if legally it has to be done in person, we're going to vote anyway, and then it does not have to be. Okay.
Say that again?
It does not have to be in person.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. We can email, just to clarify, Dave, I'll just do a question. We went over this last meeting. We can do an email vote. If we are all in agreement, every board member votes or agrees to it, it is a binding vote. If one board member does not vote, or one board member, I can't go on with the next sentence, so I'm not sure about that. But if one member does not,
I've got it to you right here.
I've got it right here too.
If one member abstains, then what?
Then the vote is not binding.
Okay, and that becomes a problem because either people don't read their email or they intentionally abstain, which holds the whole thing up.
Right.
And so that doesn't happen if we're here and we have a majority vote. And so to make rules consistent, either play ball or and either vote or, I mean, if you're going to abstain or whatever it is, but a majority vote ends up carrying, and if it's email or if it's in person or if it's by phone, however we do it, there is business that
happens. We've got to find a way to do it other than everybody meeting at Deer Springs. I think
that everybody has to be on track.
I'm trying to understand.
Okay.
Just to let it says the action wants out of me. This is the ordinance. Okay, this is what the ordinance states. Where there's action without a meeting. One, unless otherwise provided in the bylaws, any action required or permitted by this chapter can be taken at a board of directors meeting, may be taken without a meeting if each and every member of the board in writing, and we have determined that on the internet, that would be our email, that would be in writing, vote for the action, okay? So all of everybody has to vote for the action or vote against the action or
abstain, still counts.
Huh?
Right. Or abstain. Still counts. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And also, if they abstain, they have to waive the right to demand that action not be taken without a meeting. So if you're going to say, I'm abstaining because I need more information, you can do that, but you can't not vote. So that's your choice. You know about the thing, you can either say, I need more information, I have to abstain, or I vote yes or I vote no. There is not no
vote. No, you cannot vote.
It's not a not vote.
Yeah, that's
you cannot vote. Say that in that sense.
These are the rules to follow if you vote. You cannot vote. You cannot participate in the vote if you do not want to.
Right.
Yeah, that's what Ed says in his letter. But go ahead.
That's not what
that was. Okay, let me clarify, because Jody talked, and I talked with Ed also.
From what he told you, but he was going to screw that out.
Well, but, and he said that is not the intent of the ordinance, so we have other forces. If we do a conference call, we could do that, but it still requires us to align our time, but not our location. Or if we make it available on Skype, just like this meeting, if there's a board member that's not here by their conflict of schedule or choice, that doesn't hold it up. If four members were to be here, either in person or on the machine and can communicate, it's still legally binding.
Right.
So some of these things, we need to still go back to special meetings called by the president and conference call for 30 minutes or Skype or figure out on email. It's an evolving thing, and that's where the state statute and law is trailing what technology is doing, and it'll be worked out in the next 6 months. I think there will be some clarification. I don't think that there's any member that's going to have a problem. And if this is something that needs to be addressed in the bylaws, we need to talk about it now and have it in this bylaw change saying we approve that email is written communication. In the state of Utah, it has been determined that electronic writing is written writing. In real estate, we deal with that, electronic transmissions, whether it's an e-signature or a fax or an email, counts as if you signed your name in person. There has been a little confusion on that, but I'm not going to vote, and that will null and void or hold hostage the entire organization was not the intent of the ordinance and won't stand up in court.
No,
I
won't.
Let's see. And I just have to have the same thing that the law already requires, which is a majority vote. So whoever's there, whatever the president is, it's a majority vote.
But here's everybody has to participate.
Here's how here's how it lays out from the ordinance to what Ed says in practical uses. As a practical matter, this exception generally becomes of small consequence because all a dissenting director need to do to prevent binding board action outside of a meeting is, one, not to vote, and two, not to waive the board meeting and quorum requirements, which are built into the law elsewhere.
Which is what Ryan did. Which is the reason why we had a very important decision held up that needed to be made immediately. So we got held hostage because one...
Well, we can't...
But again, I think we're still missing, Jody, Read that again, because it's still talking about a quorum. If there's four people, there's a quorum. Yeah.
That is. And the three of those people make the quorum are the ones that showed up, and that's what Ed's trying to say. If you have four people that showed up, which is our quorum, we have a meeting, three people make a vote. That passes, even though the other ones aren't there.
And you know,
that's what it says right there. That's exactly true. And that's exactly what this ordinance spells right out.
Well, this on the, when we're here in the meeting and abstaining from the vote at the meeting, that was how it was run when Dirk was president, and that's why how I learned that from past meetings. And if that's wrong, then we move forward from this point on to correct that. But that's what it was done when Dirk was president.
Let's say that again.
When Dirk was president, if we had four people on the board that met that time and that was nobody else, then if three people voted and one person abstained, the vote was not binding.
Yeah, I
that's how we learned that.
And told me specifically that that is not correct.
He did.
Let's get that clarification.
It's exactly correct.
We need to have that clarified by our attorney or something. Is does a quorum mean the quorum of the board, which is a board of seven, so a quorum is four, or a quorum of those that actually showed up?
Four of the quorum have to be there
right
for a meeting.
And then
whoever's there has to be a majority of two votes.
Right.
So everybody has to know about the meeting. Everybody has to have the information. You send it out by email. Everybody has to know about it. And they can either abstain or, but they can't not vote. You have to abstain or yes or no. Period. Because they recognize that they received that information. Period.
In an email. I disagree with that last statement.
That's
how you're reading that it says. But again, maybe we need to take that back to Ed.
Well, we could set up through the website. There's a lot of polling software that's free, where you acknowledge, we can prove you got it. So it's not a question that somebody denies and say, I never got it. You acknowledge that it was received, and so if you received it and don't vote, that's considered an abstain.
Right.
You can't say, I didn't see it, you know.
Or you chose not to vote. That's two different things.
Well, right. But I will go to the Supreme Court on, you choose not to vote, any one individual cannot say, I refuse to vote, and that holds the entire organization
right
and the board hostage. That will never apply.
Right. It just has to go in a different direction at that point if that were happening.
What's that?
5 hours wasted last
night. I know, and that's why we're learning and getting through it. So let's get that solved so that we can print some updated rules that will jive with technology, because I think Shauna has a valid question or point of what she's saying there on what is a quorum. And I think that Jody, what Ed has said, and he said to Jody, I think, and me, he said, hey, that what I wrote, he wrote a letter to the board at Jody's request back in May. And then it got a little reinterpreted. He said, well, that's not really what I meant, but let me look at it. And he sent out an email kind of clarifying it. But we need to, one, decide how we want to run this organization, and two, write it into our bylaws, and I don't care what Fu Manchu does in China, this is how we run it here.
We control what we do. We write it, whether it's in our bylaws or our PCRs, we set it up now.
You can't say that, Mark, because not only are we our company here, but we have state codes to go by too, and we have legal codes to go by too.
That's what we're
so we can go partially to that, but we can't, check the world. We're here and we're doing it our way.
Right, but they all refer back to if your bylaws allow it, and that's what. And right now, our bylaws don't ever say the word email. We need to now say email, electronic, digital, whatever, that will kind of cover the next 10 years of communication that may come up, whether it's Skype or FaceTime. We need to have that.
Okay, it's got to go by Utah code because board members keep changing.
Right.
It's got to go by Utah code, point blank.
You can make them code super safe. And you can make
our
them.
Yeah.
Correct.
No, you can make them more restrictive. You can make them more restrictive.
You
can't make them less.
Federal code will supersede state code. There you go.
Yeah.
Another question would be, does it have to be simultaneous voting, or can it be the email tally done?
I think we need to research it and stuff. I think that, how is there, and if it is an email, what's the time limit? It just say, look, if you don't answer in 5 days or 3 days, 72 hours, then it doesn't count. We just got to create the ground. We're not the only HOA up against us right now. Case law and legislature will make some rules and help govern this in the near future. We just need to research it and find something. And when it's, hey, we're all just trying to get along and make the best decision for the ranch, not when it's a hot topic and my pet peeve, because I want cabin one painted pink, and so I'm not
going to
vote.
Okay. All right. I think we're going on to Dale's, the four items that were voted on. Where's that at?
Number 14.
Four motions made by Dale back in, is it February?
Well, this is all happening in the February minutes, isn't it?
Yeah, that's when we were in the executive session, really.
Okay.
That's the February minutes.
Okay. Now, do we move on to B, 14B, Jody, your question?
No, that was done. We did that last time. So, ratings are here. My time was not wasted now, so we're cool.
Mark's request for payment for mowing.
No, hell no.
That's on here, is that? Oh,
yeah. Well, I thought that mowing, but I still think I cut down. Somebody had to do it last time. We got that grader back out of there.
Well, you know, we're all up here, and we talked about this last month, too. We're all up here to do a job, so thank you very much for doing that job.
Maybe not be enough to get it done, though.
I don't know.
Am I going to put roots on for free?
Okay. No, but we do have a process. Gentlemen, ladies, we have a process.
Yeah, we'll see the process.
We either approve, pre-approve expenditures, or there is small things. I know, and I'm not saying that. Or we, if somebody is beyond their generosity and what they feel that they can justify from themselves and their family, they turn in a written bill to be approved, and the board can either deny it or approve it. They know that they went out on a risk to some degree. We voted today to approve $184 for Leaf Spring. We could deny this. We approved it because it was a good decision. As soon as I see a written bill for one of these, then we can deal with it. Until then, it doesn't exist.
Then I've got a question about Jody going to the attorney for an opinion. Is that in the budget? Did she just do that on her own?
Yes, because in April of last year, the board decided, and this was a meeting I wasn't at, that we can spend, the board members are allowed to spend up to, was it $800 to do whatever they need to do in their department field.
Okay, so
wait a minute, I thought that was only an emergency.
No.
Well, was it an emergency? She wanted a legal opinion.
No, it was an emergency, but it was as a position of a legal chairperson, that was my committee. Part that I'm supposed to do, that's my job.
So again, Mark.
Okay, wait.
Let me ask this other question.
Mm-hmm.
Because Ed ran into me, he saw me, and he gave me some illegal advice. Is he going to send us a bill? I did not ask him. I didn't solicit. I didn't do anything. I didn't even bring up the conversation. But he's done that to me before.
Well,
I have an issue with this because I don't want an attorney who's going to bill us every time he opens.
Well, we need to clarify. It's the same thing. The last letter that he wrote to the board, he referred to, I met with Ben Tuggan. He came in my office on Kane County business. Another client he represents, he mentioned, hey, Jody sent me an email or something, and we discussed it. He asked my opinion. I was giving him my opinion. He referred to it in the letter. I think Ed's being pretty fair on his bills. I've seen his bills, so I'm not those kind of things.
Did he send you a bill?
Well, he sent the. I open all the mail, so I see all the bills.
Did he send a bill wanting to talk to you?
No.
I
think the only one that was a question, Jody did call.
On the
email voting or something, I don't have an issue. I do believe that Jody has latitude beyond the rest of the board members, maybe on the same level as you as president, to talk to the attorney. Whether it's handling collections, legal issues and stuff, she's been doing that and shit. There was one call that Jody made. That I would question and say, I'm not sure that we should rack up attorney fees. It was really a meeting of the minds of board members disagreeing, and we can't always run to the attorney. We've got to come to terms and a meeting of mind and then tell the attorney, okay, write that up legally, not ask his opinion every time because he's not going to settle our differences of opinion.
Yeah.
And
we just need to follow the
rules. And I can't remember what that was. It was something back that it was a disagreement, but it was before the email issue. Because we already had the answer. Linda and I talked about it. What was it? So anyway, but I knew the answer. A couple did. By the time I knew about it, Jody had talked to the attorney, and he billed us. And I'm like, okay, we already solved that problem, but we hadn't communicated through. So we just need to be careful. But at the same time, we're not running through a lot of legal fees. We're not getting a lot of bills. He does. need to go through the PCNRs is our next legal thing. And with that, a few of these other small questions I think can get answered at the same time.
And he has helped us clarify many things.
And a lot of it he's done without billing us.
Yeah, it's not been...
So until it becomes abused or a problem by a board member or by the attorney, it's a non-issue in my mind.
Hey, Mark, another bill. We're going to go through this job description.
No, that was last time.
Compensation.
We did that.
Hiring on-site manager.
Summer help. We did that.
Summer help.
Everything's done.
Building.
Okay.
Meeting adjourned.
You have to vote.
Just kidding. Just kidding. The bill on the truck.
Oh, oh my God. Flash.
Who did that? So how did that happen? What's the story on that?
We found out the story on that one.
You think you did number 15 too, Dave?
Some money was withheld from Khalil. It could go towards that damage and probably not submit a bill to the association.
Okay. Well, that's where I, as one, again, I, coming from, I didn't attend last meeting, and so I don't know if this was addressed at all in last meeting or anything.
Board members only just used the trust. We did not make any move on it.
And I have only heard like a kind of secondhand comment that there was damage to a different vehicle. Is that Deer Springs business or something?
It could be Deer Springs business.
I don't know, though.
If I loan my vehicle to Brent Fulmer and he wrecks it, it has nothing to do with the association.
Because it's already settled. It's done.
Okay. So it's not a Deer Springs. So you're right. It's not a Deer Springs issue.
That whole issue's over.
Okay. So you're right. It was never a Deer Springs issue.
Okay,
so don't bring it to the board and then say it's solved. It was never a Deer Springs DSROA board issue.
Yeah, and he was right.
But he did not do anything with the board. He begged a favor from a member, and if he deals with anybody here, that's not our problem.
Yes, it is our problem.
Yes, it is our problem.
Yes, it is our problem.
Oh, yeah, but he happened to have a rhino.
No, they
didn't.
They
had volunteers.
And if they had asked me, I graciously would. And if there's a problem, it's between me and them and my insurance company, not the board.
I don't agree.
Not insurance.
We provided them with transportation or not, and we provide the employees with transportation.
Okay.
And if they didn't have it, a member helped the association.
Okay. Right. But it never came to the board for approval or asking or anything.
No, Mary, it was an emergency.
That wasn't an emergency.
It was an emergency.
So like other
okay, and so that's what I'm saying. If it's a board issue, let's talk, because I don't even know what happened. So
okay.
Then Dale should know an invoice, and we talk about it next time.
Right. Okay. That's what I'm saying. I don't even know what happened. I know that there's a personal vehicle.
It's not settled now. We're going to talk about it in August.
Okay. We can do that then.
No, because we need to see the invoice, and then we hear the story, and we decide. Right
okay.
Now we haven't seen an invoice.
So that's what I'm just saying. It's either an issue or it's not.
So now we're saying it is a DSR issue.
We'll decide.
Because they're going to get the bill and then submit it to the board
okay.
If we're going to pay that.
Yeah. There was no insurance on the truck.
Yes.
Well, there's one reason there's been a lot of discussion about our previous employee being a great liability to Deer Springs, that it's going to impact our insurance policy, that any uninsured driver should be a problem. I mean, all of you know we've talked each after this. Okay, here's an employee of Deer Springs, and do you want a claim filed against the DSROA insurance policy, which several people have thought was going to happen.
There's no such... this is...
Employee.
Okay, not. Listen.
Let's finish this comment.
Okay. I think he did. Go ahead.
All of you know that there's been lots of conversation about the liability of our previous employees.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. So let's get back into reality. There is no responsibility or legal liability in the world that I, Vince Clarkson, have to have insurance on anything. There's nothing. There is a law that my vehicle has to have insurance. Now, if I drive it and wreck it, I have insurance. If you drive it and wreck it, I have insurance. If you drive it and wreck it, I have insurance. The insurance is on the vehicle, not the individual. That has always been the case. Mm-hmm. And if it's a trailer, then the insurance that's on the truck pulling the trailer is responsible. Mm-hmm. There is no such thing as insurance on individuals. And so we've already violated it, and you're right, we beat it because we somewhere got off track and started hiring individuals and telling our insurance company, hey, here's their name and not driver license. And some insurance companies want that. In my world, I have plenty of policies and plenty of businesses, and if I have an insurance company that demands that, I go to a different insurance company because it's none of their business who's driving the vehicle.
That's not all correct. Because I'm insured to drive any vehicle.
That's because of your insurance. That's right.
Right. But so that doesn't mean particularly that just the vehicle has insurance on. So I can't.
But your insurance on your vehicle covers you driving others. That's right. My insurance, if I fly to Wisconsin and rent a car and wreck it, my insurance on my vehicle, because I'm covered, will cover that rental car. But that's a rider on my insurance. You can choose if you have 24-hour towing or if you have glass breakage or anything. But if we have an employee or a family member of an employee who drives somebody else's vehicle, that still is not reflected on our vehicles.
It still comes down to DSROA providing a vehicle for an employee.
Right.
And that's where...
Did you as president or I as board member do that?
No, I didn't.
Okay, then.
Because it was an emergency, and out of the goodness of their heart, a member loaned the truck, and it got damaged by an employee. And so, to me, that's what it comes down to. And so they need to be compensated
by
DSROA somehow, because that employee decided to make a poor decision, then...
I agree with Ben here. The machine that you're driving is covered by that insurance. Now, if Deer Springs wants to go above that, they could pay the deductible, but the insurance should cover the vehicle.
There's an insurance.
Well, so that's why. I don't know all the story. I'm just trying to get, because we've had this, I'm not trying to argue this issue. We've had this several times for 10 years. We'll have it again. And we've got to clear, the next time that we hire, Paul and Nancy should not go on our insurance policy. Our vehicle, as soon as we buy another vehicle, we insure it. The one we just sold, get it off our insurance. Okay? We never give them their information because we may fire him tomorrow. Paul is, I'm kind of down on him right now. Okay? So.
His kid was committed and they voted to pay additional funds to the mother to pay him, and he never was here and did not work, and so the suggestion was withhold those 2 months his pay that he was supposed to get paid and possibly place it on the...
She already has it.
$400
She already
okay, she's already been paid. The release waiver that was tried to work through to force her to sign for our liability was not signed. She's now gone, and what Linda went through extensive amounts of stuff to get that signed before she left. She has the payment. We have diddly.
$200
without,
and
then
you got a separate check
for me. It was $200 for Omega. And Niall Willis left it for Linda in a secure location, and the check was stolen. That's the last time I told. I instructed Niall to cancel the check. He resisted and said, look, I have hundreds of people I cut out of a trust account that's regulated by the state. If they go and I put stop payment and they go and cash at a grocery store, it's going to reflect bad on me. It's going to reflect bad on the ranch. I said, Niall, you're a big boy. Do whatever you want. If there's a check missing out of my trust account, I cancel it. It costs $25, but I don't care. And he said, well, if it's stolen, if then she took it, then I'll have her in jail by midnight. I don't know. I haven't heard any updates since then, but the check is missing.
It's
been cashed.
And it will be cashed,
it
I'm
was.
Assuming.
It was.
It has now been verified it's cashed.
And that was the July check.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, the board will decide. I appreciate your opinion, Joe. These decisions shift.
And so, on this thing, we need to do what's fair to settle this out.
Yeah.
For future, I want to make clear on our insurance policies and our vehicles that we are covered so that if we loan it, if Brent Fulmer drives the truck or some of the members that are helping and they wreck, I don't care if they have insurance or not. Our vehicle is insured and it will be covered. And if they're driving somebody else's, It's not our responsibility.
Okay.
We've got to keep those lines clear.
Okay. All right. Yes.
I don't know about Paraguay. It's our company. And, we've got to address whoever the name of the employee and his driver's license number, if he's going to die, and our customer vehicle. The insurance company then checks his driver's record and lets us know if he can drive or if he cannot drive.
And, and we researched through that this last year with the, I mean, we've now turned over and had half dozen employees in the last 12 months. I checked with our auto insurance policy. They'd like us to. I mean, it definitely, they're there to cover their butt as much as they can. We don't have to. If they demand it, we have to make the decision.
I don't know the law here, but I know that. And I'll also know if somebody has drives that car, I'm covered, Jen. But I may be in trouble for allowing somebody with a bad record to drive it. But if they're going to drive it on a regular basis, insurance companies got to know what their record is.
Right. So we did already go through that and research it.
Anybody wants to know, I have a clean driver.
Thank you, Paul.
And speaking,
Nancy, on the other hand, no.
And I have one comment to say about that.
Dale,
thank you for letting him use your truck. So it's a hard part to put a position to put us in, because although I appreciate the effort, I have to think as a responsible car owner that has my own insurance, would I lend my uninsured vehicle to a 18-year-old, 19-year-old boy, knowing it was uninsured? Risky, risky, risky. So, but thank you anyway for letting him use it, if that's any...
It was not loaned to him. It was
to his mother. Oh, it was to his mother.
Chris Church got it bumped down here.
Is Chris the one that...
Okay, now we're going to go back to item number two, which is the ranch report. Hi, Brayden. Would you like to give us a report?
The papers that I handed to you are the daily reports. You may want to pass them to the board members of what they've been doing for the last...
And we've read these in emails that have been
sent you. I sent you one or two.
Okay.
That's all except yesterday and the day before.
Okay.
Out here. But they've been doing a tremendous amount of work. I think most of you have seen a lot of the work that they've done even just here, right here.
Yeah,
at the ranch. And I just want to... But they've been busy pretty much from sun up to sundown each day.
What's the generator? Is it cabin 6?
Cabin 6, that generator on the trailer.
Chris had that over there, I think, when he was in 6.
Is that yours?
No, that's Brent. Francis.
What's that?
That's right.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. One. On Brayton's responsibility of reporting here, and somewhat, I mean, I'm pleased as punch. I'm just kidding. I don't have any problems to fire Paul today. Give me some Monday. But, you know, Dale raises the question as far as a ranch manager. We've approved things as far as a liaison. I think all is working well. I personally question, and I don't know the board, it doesn't take anything different for daily reports to go from, I think that phone calls, questions, emergencies have got to go through the liaison that can help them get approvals and stuff. I don't mind getting the daily reports just so that I'm continuously kind of in the know. If you hand me a pile of papers once a month, I will never read them. If they dribble in daily and I kind of think and I hear, oh, there's an emergency on my area of responsibility in grazing or something, then I then know to say, hey, Linda, let's do this, or let's get that on the top 10 list or whatever. So, is
you,
that...
You're the main reason why I wasn't sending them out daily, because you say I don't like getting all
I don't like getting all the things, but I do think that I, you know...
If you want daily reports, I'll send them on to you, folks.
The main thing with the report...
Top 10.
...is... just to let the board know what we're doing.
Right, and that's why I'm just...
If there's an issue, if there's something that needs to be done, something that Jody has seen, that, hey, you know,
I'm all over the place. I might not have seen it. Have
right.
you seen this?
Right. And that's where...
Hey, I'm having a hard time driving over the cattle guard because there's a big old divot in front of me.
Right.
Those types of things. Hey, you know exactly what I'm doing every day.
And that's why my recommendation is to set it up so that your daily reports go to the entire board in Linda. If you have an emergency issue on a road issue, it should go to Linda and the person over roads. If it's an agricultural thing and Doug Hunt leads, it goes to Linda and me over agricultural. And we work on it, and we don't waste everybody's time. But if it's just general, hey, we're getting things accomplished, this is kind of the areas that we're in, for that to go directly from you to every board member and Linda, you can read it or file it. If it's, you know, I can file mine where sometimes I reference back just because I, oh, yeah, that was kind of mid-June. I think that was kind of an issue. I have that. And so that's what I would recommend. Now, if there's questions like, hey, we're out of this, Linda, what do we do? That's directly behind the scenes. You directly handle it and only involve board members or the president as needed. That's just the way I think would be the best operation to finish this season.
So then can they send it to me and I'll send it on to the rest of the board?
Sure.
Okay, let's do it that way.
I have to have input here. Linda has done a great job, and she has been overwhelmed with this job and with her things happening in personal life. But thank you for Linda, and thank you, Paul and Nancy, for doing so much work. I know you guys have been busting your butts.
Thank you.
Good job, guys.
You're leaving the class, too. Thank you very much.
and the timing.
Linda, as the emails are going back and forth, it would be helpful if you made note of what issues need to be maybe resolved.
Oh, I do. I do. They've heard from me for things that you have been... I figure that's part of my liaison part.
The coolies in the pot. I was going to do that the other day, but it kind of wasn't really fitting in my day. But it has to be done, I believe.
Yeah. And the
but it's not one of those, you know, cows are getting out of the meadow.
Right, and it may be... Maybe something that you add to the top 10 list that obviously we missed, and it may be on the top 25 just so that it's in rotation and eventually gets taken care of.
Really, I just don't want any question of what we're doing or what we're not doing. Everybody knows everything, and it's just.
And I'm fine, and I like it to go in through Linda, because then when I see it in the subject line, it doesn't have whatever he named it. It's going to be your Brayton weekly update, but it also say forwarded. Brayton weekly up. I know that Linda's seen it. She's taking care of it firsthand.
Yeah.
It's not on the top of my list. Or in there, if it's information, we can put FYI dash or urgent action required, and then whatever, and we know that, okay, this is something I've got to read and try to respond to, even though sometimes I fall off the page there. The whole slew that happened last week about where to have this meeting, I apologize.
And that's, yeah. So... Are there anything else that we need to cover? Is there anything else we need to cover here before we start?
I put on a couple of things that really should be generally, didn't I?
No. I thought, go ahead, what do you have?
Well, there was discussion or has been,
at least.
What's that?
We've got some things that the members want.
Okay, well, we can go to that. The things were a decision if we're doing anything on the propane tank on the trailer or the tree shredder. But they're just general random thing. I don't know whether we handle it, but I don't. They're ones that.
Well, yeah, let's do it.
What's that?
Why don't we just talk about it?
Well, okay. The propane tank on the trailer. We have the one that is full is a liability. I mean, we need to one get value out. We discussed it by email. Some of them. Brent was involved. It hasn't moved, right? The propane tank on the trailer. Still in the middle of the field, full of propane. We've got a couple of $1,000 sitting there that's going to leak out if we don't do something. We talked about all the tanks that we use are AmeriGas or service. That was one to Romer, and we don't use it anymore. And so that's where it was talked about selling. I said I would like to buy it. Brent would like to buy it. I don't care if somebody else buys it. I don't want to see it rust for 3 more years and the $2,000 of propane or whatever's in it leak out. I mean, it hasn't been used since Brayton's left.
We never used it.
How big is the tank?
It's a 500-gallon tank, I believe.
Yeah.
And it should be nearly full.
We used to use it to pump water at the upper cavities, and then that propane generator went down, and we haven't used it.
So that thing, I think that it's a liability. I don't know if the trailer is of use. I don't care about the trailer. I'm looking for a owned tank, but whether it is, I just think It's something we've cleaned up a lot of junk, and it's something that there's a lot of value sitting there that should be going into the budget, not wasting away.
So what's our decision?
I guess we have to find out, is it full and sell it? That's what we're looking at. Do you want
to
sell it?
Somehow, we'd have to look at it and then... What's that?
$1,000 in gas.
Well, it's 500 gallons and whatever it is, $250 a gallon. Yeah, it's probably $1,000 and if it's a 500 gallon tank, is it worth?
I'll tell you, when we were here, knowing that it was there was kind of some insurance. If, you know, something happened and, you know, the garden cabin ran out of propane, just buzz that thing over here and hook it up, or anywhere, just because it's mobile. In the middle of winter, we, you know, ran out of propane for some reason, we just buzz it over here. It's kind of just a little bit of insurance.
Well, there's two things.
But you have
one. One, if you think that, then I totally respect that it should be an asset of the ranch, not divested. Except, we have three other tanks sitting on the ranch that you could do that with.
Are they mobile?
They're not mobile.
I'll have to pick them up.
We'd have to put them on the same trailer.
They're mobile.
But I can't buy them from AmeriGas, who now has the monopoly. And in town, you know, so we only have AmeriGas. A lot of the members are now using the other gas company, so both are coming to the ranch. But that's what Linda's very good at continuing. We just got bills for hundreds of dollars of rent, and it's easy. Linda every year has to call and say, okay, come pick up 20 tanks. We're going to the other gas company, and they quickly say, oh, okay, never mind. We'll go back to the $1 a year lease instead of $145 a year lease.
It's a game we play.
It just sits there as an asset. We can cover it with a tarp.
Well, but like I said, in my opinion, it should be empty, and it should be a rented tank that we're paying $1 a year, and sell the private tank to somebody who needs it, because Deer Springs doesn't need it.
Right.
If Deer Springs can get $500 out of a 500-gallon tank or something, I don't know if there's any market value to know what they sell for. They are something that...
So AmeriGas will not sell that tank?
No, they will.
Oh, they will.
Anybody will.
Oh, okay.
Well,
because it's privately owned.
Yeah, so anybody.
Oh, my thought is keep a spare. I like the spare idea.
But we have three other spares here that if we said, hey, AmeriGas, get them out of here, they won't even come pick them up. They have tanks run out of their ears, but they won't sell them because then that cuts into their monopoly.
Okay, gotcha.
So a privately owned tank does have some value, but it shouldn't be there because, like I said, somebody bumped that or a cow bust off a fitting. There's $1,000 of propane evaporated, and it will contaminate to some degree. I mean, over time, it's been sitting here for 5 years.
You can't sell it back. They won't take the fuel out of it.
You've also missing the other big point. It's sitting out there in that field.
Kaboom!
That field burns, and that tank blows.
Are you saying we got to move it a little further?
Actually, we've seen them rock it over a half a mile.
Yeah.
Wow. So, not a contamination.
If it comes the wrong direction, you know, for me, I think we ought to get rid of it. I can understand that you can lose propane. You know, knock up a valve or something, that happens. But running out of propane shouldn't be something that happens, not if we're maintaining things like this. Number two, I don't look at that as an asset, I look at it as a liability. And we might as well get some money out of our, you know, if we sell it, we also can get some money, and we no longer have the liability. And I think Ben ought to get it. That's just Brent. I don't care about it, you know. But it just sits out there, and it's going to sit out there. It's like those trusses that we got from the Devon. They're going to, they're rust, they're sitting out there rotting. And we ought to use them because it's just sitting there.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Yeah, because I mean, I just think that it needs to be used. It needs to be pumped out and burned here through gas lamps that doesn't contaminate a fridge, or before it gets any older. And then if we want to keep the trailer and put one of these other ones on it, great. So that you have a mobile that you could fill in the winter just in case something. The trailer's not really valuable for anything other than to haul that, really, because it's not really a deck. It's kind of a two wheels that will hold a tank. We could maybe put a water tank on it for fire suppression sometime with a little modification. Anyway, I don't know what the thing is, and I don't want to say, well, this is what, you know, but to force a decision...
I say sell it.
I'm willing to buy it.
For 5 years. Okay.
I'm willing for Brent to buy it. We talked about it for a little while, and it keeps putting on the back burner.
Brent doesn't want it.
Right.
Are you okay with that?
Brent Willis.
Yes, Dale Mark.
You want Brent to buy it?
Well, I thought that Brent wanted it.
I'm a junk man.
Yeah.
I love junk.
So
I could use the propane, I could use the tank, I could use the trailer. But I'm also, you know, logic just says we need to get it out of it. If you want it.
The bad thing, Brent, and I love you, man, you don't have a wife that keeps all the junk away from the house like most of them. They're like, honey, you pull one more thing into this yard.
Lot 117 is a junk clothes-free home.
So, are you going to offer a bid for it?
Yes, sir.
I move we sell the gas and the tank to Ben Clarkson.
For how much?
For how much, Bill?
I don't have a gas is it?
$2
a gallon. Okay, if we go 250 gallons, say we compromise and go like 135 or 150 a gallon, it comes about 850 to 875 for just the propane.
It's the tank he wants.
Oh, you don't want the propane?
Ben will look at it. I'm sure Ben would be more than fair. He can look at it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if we pump it out, burn it out. I know that those tanks, you know, if they were used for years, then I have drained a tank lately. And the stinky stuff that they put in propane so you can smell it.
It's always at the bottom.
Is at the bottom. And 20% of the tank is that buildup stink that if you actually refurbish a tank, and then it won't burn. It's just built up stinky stuff. I don't know. Because I thought I had a building that was going to blow up. When I called the gas company, they're like, yeah, nothing's going to go. It was, but just let that bleed off. So I don't know how to
figure what spares.
Do you have a price in mind?
I agree.
What's that?
Do you have a price in mind we can put on the table? Maybe
I have no idea. I'm happy to, right now there's two suppliers. I'm happy to call, or have Linda call Monday, whatever the price is, average the two.
He shouldn't have to pay full price if the propane is that old. Buddy.
Well, and that's right. It's a lot of variables. I don't care. It's a token thing, and I'm not going to make a...
Gail says, let you just take a fair offer, and I think that's fair.
All in favor?
Aye.
I abstain.
Good move.
Great life, Ben. Thank you.
Congratulations. The price of propane is a lot more than
there you go. Well, I mean, I think we may be above where we were 5 years ago when we bought it.
Next week.
This month is the cheapest you can get.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going up next
Any
month.
Other board items that we need to cover?
Okay, the other thing then was the tree shredder recommendation came from a member to donate it or sell it or get it used. What I would say is it needs to be tuned up and sharpened. I will take it to town and do that if I can use it.
Okay, I keep it and use it.
Same thing. We may not be able to get the shredder back into Slide Canyon. I'm going to try. But the BLM are insisting that the slides be cleaned up. Not only, you know, from the I was involved in last year, but for the last 10 years or 20 years, people have been cutting posts. In fact, just the last 2 or 3 months, somebody put in and cut posts and made a mess out of things. And I'm just not sure that Deer Springs needs to shoulder the responsibility of cleaning up Slide Canyon for whoever did it. So that shredder may be needed.
No, that's what I think. I think the ranch still needs the shredder. That's why I don't think just giving it somewhere that it disappears. I would be willing to take it to town because it can't be fixed up here, research and sharpen or get new knives, tune it up so that I can use it and it can be available. But it's something we use maybe a week every year. Is it better under 4 foot of snow all winter up here when we use it and we don't have tires to move it or we keep it, you know. I don't know if anybody else is willing or has a need for it. I mean, it's a big enough machine. It was we had a liability and said nobody could use it on the ranch other than Paul or, you know, qualified people because it'll tear you in half. And so we don't want just somebody tooling it up. It's a big machine. But I maintain enough trees and property in town.
Policy for BLM, whether it's because of Louie or whatever, I think, yes, it needs to be used in town, but it needs to be so that it's available.
Right, and that's what I'm proposing. I would make it available anytime anybody needs to use it as a member of the ranch. It's ready to go. It has tires. and it's in running condition. In the meantime, I will use it.
I think that's fair.
I think too. I think
so. I don't know who owns it, whether I own it and they use it, or vice versa.
If that was a motion, I'll second it.
Right now, it hasn't started in how many years? It was a very generous donation. It was a very generous donation from member named...
It was Don Busboom.
Okay, Busboom. And it ran great for the first year, so it just hasn't been tuned up, and it is, you know, it needs to be maintained. But it's something that we just never get maintained up here.
Did you bring your trucks?
Yeah.
You want to haul it today?
I'd pull one of them if they'll roll. I know Brent was working on getting a tire on it.
I was looking for a tire on it. Now, I can cannibalize something else out here.
That's your middle name, isn't it?
Yeah. If we can swap a tire, I can send the tire back out with Paul next week.
But we need to get you on the road with that today.
But I'll put new tires on it and get
it
running.
That is a motion, okay? And here's the motion. Ben makes the motion to take the shredder to town and sharpen and maintain and keep it working in working order if he can use it in town. If you can use it, okay? And then, it doesn't have to be in town. And I want to second the motion.
I prefer it's still owned by DSROA. If it doesn't work,
it will still be.
Somebody send me a letter and say, get our thing back up here and I'll return it or send the sheriff on me. If it comes up here and rips somebody's arm off, I don't want there to be a bill of sale in Ben Clarkson's name. So if I'm having it in town and I or my employees are using it, then I will take care of liability or whatever. So,
well, inversely, Deer Springs Ranch will be liable for your usage.
I don't know. You know, off the property. That's where we may need to have a little written agreement saying.
Yeah, because if somebody in your deal decides to survive.
Yeah, if we have a little agreement, use agreement that anytime I take it, it will be covered by my insurance.
Mm-hmm. That is used to the ranch.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
In this case, the machinery is not insured.
No, it's farm stuff.
Ben abstained.
Okay. Yes, I did.
Again. Okay. All board issues done.
I have one more question.
Okay.
Before, if you guys are going to an executive session, does anybody want to... We haven't unloaded into our house because there's damage and unfinished things that
we should
take
the board
to see.
Okay.
Before, so that it doesn't somehow...
And you guys have pictures.
We will.
Yeah, but you don't want to.
I took pictures, but then I had to change phones, and they haven't all restored onto my phone. So
We're out there in the ether somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll do that. Wait a minute, before we give you that. You've got a letter that you submitted, Bob. Do we need to talk about that now?
Well, if you want to.
We don't want to, but we will if we need to. If you want to, we will.
Well, if you... Whether you want to act on it today or not.
Tell us about the letter, for those that haven't read it.
Well, I ran a water line from my well on lot 16 over to my lot 17, and I'm requesting to divert the water right on lot 17 to my well, and then get paperwork that I can get recorded.
Then you're applying
for
appropriation?
Put it over on the well.
Why does that need to come to the board? I don't know.
Well, but it's a nice courtesy. What the question, though, is every member with their lot has the right to 0.45 acre feet that they could request from the association. We would have to sign a legal document to transfer it. What Lynette's saying is there is still... water available. If you fill out the paper with the state, then you can get. You already have that, but you would like this in addition, and you definitely have the right to it.
Is this in addition or just changing the point of diversion?
Just point of diversion.
Oh, he's just changing the point of diversion.
Yeah, and he's already got that. He's got the 1.373 that the state will give him for new appropriation.
But does he understand the stipulation to be able to keep those?
Yes, he has to keep using it.
You have to have a home. You can have up to 10 AUN, which are cows or chickens or horses, and then you need to irrigate a quarter of an acre of your land for a garden.
And you're
stipulations, and they have to be established when within 5 years of your receiving those new, that new appropriation.
Have you proved up on the...
Yeah,
on the well.
On the well.
Yep.
So he's already proved up and done all that.
And he's ordering the Hal Hamlin account still, right?
Right.
But in addition, but so you did get a new appropriation from the state for 1.73 acre feet.
And so it is all approved. I just don't want him to lose it.
0.37 cubic feet per second, which is the same as, we're talking the same thing. They measure both ways. But in addition to that, you would like to have both of your lots in that same well.
Right.
From DSROA, which there shouldn't be no problem.
The only thing is you have to stipulate where it's being used.
Right, but he has a home there, and he is irrigating. And
his area has to be
right.
Approved by the state.
Right, and we don't want to lose... Well, but he's got that. That's his right, and
I've already seen many people lose their new appropriations over the last 10 years.
Right.
That did not understand the rule.
No, Bob does. He's been doing all of our water sampling. He's kind of quiet and meek and mild, but he's really, powerhouse in tears. He knows it. So, I make a motion that we comply and sign whatever paperwork he needs prepared from the state to allow him to have his water up. Once he has it, if he loses it, and Bob won't, but some members may do that, they're not going to come back to the association and say, I need another 0.45. You got yours.
Yeah.
We will keep it in the minutes, so that's why it needs to be a motion that we have deeded your water, and if you lose it, you're going to have to go find or buy some from someone else.
I'll second the motion.
It needs to be a segregation from an existing district.
We got to figure out where to segregate. That's your...
That's what the water committee chairman for.
Yeah.
Okay, do we need to go?
But between you figuring out which one is the only one that would cover that area and stuff, should the board wait to approve that till after we know that, or can we approve it?
I don't think the board would know very much more.
No. Well, that's what I'm saying. I'd like to make the motion so legally it's on the books, and then you work out the details.
It needs to come out as well.
Right.
The only one
that
looks
at.
Okay. Well, how much? So you made a motion to...
I make a motion that we approve Bob Allen's request for his 0.45 acre feet that he's entitled to under his membership in DSROA to be changed to a point of diversion of the well that he's drilled.
So does he have two lots?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
He has 0.9.
Yes.
Yeah, but he's already got...
Besides his new appropriation.
I think you already have 1.45 that was deeded, or do you not have any DSR?
The state gave me that, and then when the engineer proved me up, they knocked me down to 0.37.
That's what I'm saying. Before you lose it, you have got to make sure you understand the rules and do not lose the water rights that you worked so hard to get and prove up on. I mean, you don't...
So,
he'll need to do the same thing. You'll have to prove up.
Again.
Once you receive 0.39, you'll have to plant a garden or do some whatever an engineer will certify.
And have an engineer come back out and recertify it. And if you don't do it in that 5-year period, then it'll last. But if you're, so the big thing is always the investment of money. It's better to be held and protected by the association until you're ready to use it. But if he's ready to use it and has the time and money in the next year or so to do that, we have no authority to deny him what he owns. So to make the formal action so that it's in the minutes, that's my motion.
The 1.73 acre feet of new appropriation. Then he needs to make sure that he's got that proved up on. Oh,
well, he did it and they cut it back.
Anybody that loses water rights at this point they need to go to somebody that understands water rights. And I don't know whether we need to show who in the association understands water rights, who has dealt with them for 25 years, 50 years.
We have a water committee and a chairman of the water committee who we hope is going to figure that out. Right? I know, and if people, but that's, the system is there.
I've already worked with it for 25
right. years. And if people choose to come and ask, then they do. If they choose not to,
so
that's their agency.
A thought. When that's a member, can we send that out in a newsletter that anybody that is getting water rights or is working with Trotterwise comes to you?
Absolutely.
Well, that would be great.
I nominate that Lynette will write a 4-paragraph little article for the newsletter that kind of educates people on water rights.
I have
at least the synopsis.
I have 2 newsletters going out, one really soon and then another one when the ballots go out. So would you
there should
that?
Be some stuff on the division.
All have to be, as far as I'm concerned, all have to be approved by the board. And with Dale.
And that will be fine.
And that's what he's...
But nobody should take the chance of losing the Deer Springs Ranch water rights, and nobody should take the chance of applying for new appropriations and not know the rules. So you need to put that in the letter.
In the newsletter. You can just email it to me, and I'll send it back to you again in newsletter form.
There's a big red flag here. You can't be
oh, absolutely.
We'll put a red flag on it.
There are requirements.
No, we have to, I think. And sometimes I just can get that out of the first if we, that's with your discipline.
I thought that's why we made the meeting as long as possible because
they
get torn down and some of them leave and get discouraged.
Are we going to lose Mark?
We're
going
to move on.
I think all of our... Okay, I made a motion
that
we approve Bob's request and that it now be delegated to the water... Dale is the water chairman to, you know...
Are you changing the motion?
No. No,
motion.
That was the same motion.
I know, but you're adding.
We approve his letter. It's the actual implementation is under the direction of the Water Committee Chairman.
Okay, all in favor?
I second it.
She seconded it. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
So then he'll write a letter, not me? Is that what that means?
Who?
Dale will write it.
No, he's got to prepare the document, and Davey is president, and actually has to probably sign it.
That's
his call as chairman.
Okay.
No, it's not.
And do I make a motion that we adjourn?
No.
I second it, but we're...
You got a couple issues you got to deal with.
Okay. Let's hear the issues.
We got to fix that rhino.
Chinizing.
It needs to be fixed. It's what, how much?
$300.
For a muffler or something?
Manifold?
It's all
awesome. So fix it already.
Can it be welded or...
We welded it. Chris said he welded it 2-3 times.
With the manifold?
It's not the manifold itself. It's a single
weld. Go look at it. But we need to replace it. You can't let anybody drive it.
I haven't been riding it just because it's so loud. And I mean, 20 miles a gallon compared to...
Okay, what's our next issue?
Okay, and Joe, look at if not, buy one.
They're once again driving their own vehicles.
Who's fixing the rhino?
That, I can't tell you how much that annoys me.
Okay.
It annoys me, not, and it doesn't matter if it's Colin Nancy or whoever. We can't ask them to use their own vehicle for ranch work. You can beat something to death here, driving around this ranch. I know.
I tried to bring this up the last meeting, but we got ramrodded on a different subject. I know we need to get another vehicle.
I don't want these guys bearing the burden of expense on repairing their own vehicles, doing work for Deer Springs Ranch. Okay, that's my only point here.
Okay, but wait, we got to back up too because I said if you bring the truck in, I can fix the pins on the door of the white truck, but nobody got it.
Okay,
mine are only rigs.
All right, that's still only one vehicle,
not just the
and then the rhino's not working. So
right,
let's get
the rhino fixed. Bring the branch truck, but we still have got to get another truck. When Paul was here before. Did research and was working for a tool truck. Instead of buying a tool truck to go on a tool bed to go on a truck that we don't have, we've got to start searching the websites and the auctions and things where we can get a decent old plumber's truck that has the toolboxes and a rack on top where you can haul 20 feet of pipe and something.
Yeah, they need a Suburban.
Okay, Shauna.
I just have never made that decision, and I already have one. Now I got a new one of those. So somebody needs to come and look at it and decide if that's what they want to do.
Now, is this open trust or is this on a Suburban?
Did you look at that one?
24.
Yeah, with the single cab and stuff.
Not good. Okay.
Yeah.
And then so I found a really cool one.
Bill sent me a voicemail. He has in Colorado a utility bed. Boxes came off of a truck for $500.
That's what I have.
Right.
Okay, so Paul, in the next week, will you get with Jonna and work out the pins and look at the one she has, see if that will work?
Not just the pins anymore. Both outside and inside handles are broken. And the deal for the windows.
Yeah, but her.
I to have Ken's truck at my place. Those doors are interchangeable.
$3,500?
Okay, and this would be something that I would worry about. You need to look at it. So you're not driving your vehicles. You need to get the white truck fixed.
The white truck? I mean, but I'm out doing whatever.
What happened to the. What
would you guys be interested in the $3,500? The van worked.
Oh, the van got up and running.
Let's see,
Ken, what about the $3,500?
Somewhere.
Would you guys be interested in that? It's got a brand new motor in it and brand new injectors.
The only bad thing about it is it's not four-wheel drive.
Yeah, it's really, we'll look into it. I mean, this is an ongoing thing.
Kay.
I don't want to jump into something because we need to really seriously think about what that's
going to be. Okay. And this going back to what Mark is saying, I'm opposed to buying something else if we have something that we can work. If we need two ranch vehicles, there was a van that we had talked about that was up and running.
Yeah.
It could be used for laundry.
Where is that?
Well, I said he had it running. I haven't seen it.
And load it full of laundry stuff and cleaning stuff and use that for the cabin.
Yeah,
it'd
be
there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Better be.
But that's Chris.
Yeah.
Okay. What was our next issue, Brent?
I'm just worried about
I'll be seeing Chris in just a few minutes. I'm going up to my place and he's up there now. So I'll radio back. I'll radio back to where it's at.
Joe, do you have something? Who's got? Yes.
Maybe I missed it, but was there a date set for the annual meeting?
August the 29th or
30th,
whatever that
is. No.
The annual meeting. No, that's the Olympics. Sorry.
Second Saturday of September.
Here, I'll get you the date.
It's usually the second Saturday, unless otherwise.
And it has another change.
Board meeting is the 10th of August. The Olympics are the
30th.
On the 30th of August, and then September, you're the date.
Look at it.
Whatever the last day. We just looked at the calendar. What it was, it would change.
Okay, 14th of September is the annual meeting.
September 14th is the annual meeting.
Saturday 31?
Saturday 31st.
The 11th.
So my question was, is it still such a date for the Olympics?
It's on the
31st. My question was,
Labor Day.
Wednesday. It was awesome, but we didn't get that for the time. That's Toronto really wonderful food supply, the entertainment.
That was fantastic.
And I don't know what the final outcome of people here. 45, 50?
I counted
75. 75. There's 75 total.
What I'm saying is the whole idea is to renovate your spring. Bring it back up to what we had before. We're starting that now again with Nancy and Paul. We need to get that going. The question was, is there something that could attract people again the way we had them just on Wednesday night? Most people coming from Cedar City, everywhere, just to be here for that.
Why don't we call our normal channel?
Well, that's what I wanted to know. Is there any money in the budget that we could say, okay, annual meeting is September 14th. We're going to have a shindig here. We're going to have entertainment. He was wonderful. Everybody sat around the camp choir. It was something that people kept talking.
This is what the ranch is all about.
Would he come back?
Yeah, he was here last year. Yeah. He was here last year, and we did the same. No, he paid for it. Doug paid for it.
Several hundred?
It was a friend of theirs.
Yes.
But I, through this whole week, I mean, there has been 30 horses, 15 riders.
It was great.
It was kind
Mike Duvall's writing an article on it for us.
We started it last year, and we did it, and there was very huge. And,
Brad has kind of a new job now, but he's looking at kind of a concessionaire type, like we've always talked about, somebody heading that up. He's got the horses. He's got the insurance policy. He's got all the Dutch oven set up. But to do something like that, I mean, it is what the ranch is about. Everybody feels that way.
Brad Hunt.
You know, I could put it on. I know how to Dutch oven, but I don't have the horses. I could set up the entertainment. She could cook. We could, I mean, whatever. We've done it before, Nancy and I. But to have the
annual meeting.
So have a meeting that morning, encourage people to stay.
So how about
do whatever, but then have dinner that night.
And the entertainment, because of an entrepreneur too. And he said, if anybody would be interested in having me back here, I would love to come back.
He absolutely loves it.
Where's he from?
I tried to get him to
St. George, I think.
Him to put him in the Western Lake.
If we can't get Robin Arnold, I know somebody else that can.
But what I'm saying is, let's look forward to September 14th, not 2 weeks beforehand. Let's get things going, because this is something that, if we're in the progress of making the ranch more of what we want it to be, this, I think,
that's
is something that we want.
I agree. Will you volunteer to help with that?
I definitely will. Good.
I think we should do it.
Let's do it.
Big.
So is that something under activities that Shauna can help coordinate as the board is on?
Absolutely.
I mean, you talked about the ranch road.
Well, then let's go to the annual Olympics.
No, let's not.
So we're just, our next event will be September. If we use the budget we have for some activities, provide.
We don't have it.
Are we doing the potluck for lunch and then provide something for dinner?
Can this not all happen during the lunchtime while everybody's still here? He can sing in the daytime, and does it have to be nighttime?
It could be mid afternoon.
Can you do it twice, Friday night and Saturday night?
I don't know what
he did Wednesday and Thursday. You guys didn't come down Thursday.
Well, we don't have to work all the details out right now, but if you can coordinate this, the only thing I'm fearful of is pulling Paul away from his top 10 list. Because we get over his head on this activity. He can be involved, but not.
But nothing is. If it's going to include food, it can't be overwhelming to Nancy and catering and stuff. Somebody come in that can set up and they can help coordinate.
I might even get Brad to sit down. And
I mean, he has all the tables here. He's got 7, 8, 10 Dutch ovens. And I mean, people went through real fast, had it cooked. Everyone ate. Everyone
was fine. Does
the ranch pay? We couldn't afford to pay.
Well, I know, but do we, out of our budget, do we pay, let me throw a number out there, $500, and then people that are here, we charge $5 or whatever it is to recoup some of the costs?
We'll have a donation.
But I would rather have a set fee so that we know that it's going to cost $1,000 and between 500 budgeted and the 500 we collect for the 100 people to pay, it pays for itself.
We used to do an auction to pay for.
You have to do an RSVP probably because we talked about this when it's catered. You're going to say there's 85 people coming.
Yeah.
You're going to get, or 100 people.
Right.
There's 100 people coming. You're going to pay for 100 people whether
five
show up or 100
people.
Yeah, because they have to be prepared for that many. So if we advertise it in the thing that goes out with the ballot and stuff, if it's all in there, and you have to RSVP by this date or,
Hey, come join us. Are you going to be there, yes or no?
And maybe it's $5 prepaid and it's $7 at the door, or whatever.
Yeah.
I think prepaid, that would be the way to do it. That way,
that way
you got the money and I can't say, well, I didn't go on.
Well, we can work out those details, but let's not do it right this second.
Yeah,
before that,
if they put it down there and see that they don't show to pay for it, they can show and didn't pay the
Well, we don't even know if they're going to do it. We might have to do this.
so let's just kind of
okay,
work
gonna,
out all
we're
the details until we get together. They just barely had it. Where were they wanting to come back?
Do we have any
more
people sitting
okay,
here?
I know.
Just
yes.
It was awesome. I'm still questioning. You've already got started for nominations.
I'm going to be sending them out.
Because we're already behind schedule. This all has to have been done already.
Right.
We have to have a certain number of days
right.
between.
Right.
And if the meeting is September 14th, we haven't even got the stuff out yet.
Right.
We can still meet them now to meet our legal requirements.
We can, yes.
But we're pushing it.
Oh, yeah, no, I need to do that.
To make sure
so,
that was on the docket to get going.
So I need to end up watching it to make sure that we
yeah.
go out the nominations, whoever got nominated by that day.
So, Candy, I will put a feeler into this next newsletter, but you guys have a good one for me with all the specifics for the one when I send out the ballots. But I will send out...
Are we taking nominations now?
No.
You want to nominate somebody? Yes.
I'll tell you after.
Okay. Yes, definitely. I will take nominations today if anybody has nominations for a board member.
Okay. Any other items that need to be brought up? Okay. I...
Part of the bylaws. If we change the bylaws during September, then that's one
thing. You know what?
Right now it's seven.
That was talked about last meeting. I'm like, I don't think this is even a risk by because most of the time we don't have two people show up anyway, and then you don't have a quorum. So seven is what we need.
Okay, that's done.
We've always had a quorum.
I agree.
I already get a quorum. We're going to work through that.
I'm live again for
the
first time. That way,
yeah. We're 5 minutes over. All in favor.
All right.
Thank you for everyone for attending.